Blog Talk Radio.
Tuesday, Jane.
You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show with Terry Hines. Stay tuned.
Hi, everybody. This is Queen Tree, and I'm shouting out this Hair Radio Show with Terry Hines.
I'm Crystal Jones Vaughn of Assuage Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Terry Hines.
It's time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Terry Hines.
Welcome to the Hair Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. He's the host with the most, Mr. Kerry Hines.
Good morning, and welcome to an all-new live edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show. We're the longest-running daily live broadcast on hair in the world, 25 years and counting. Now, on today's broadcast, we've got the latest in hair and beauty talk, great music, and much, much more. I must thank our Carafe Hair Products, Hair Nation Expo events, Salon TV Network, and all of our amazing advertisers who are responsible for getting this episode on the air. Now, if today is your first time tuning in, thank you. And remember to press 1 to make a live comment or shout-out during the show. We're here each weekday from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 5 to 8 Central. Now grab your cup of coffee and enjoy today's show. All right, you're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show, and we are celebrating the Year of the Family. Listen weekdays to catch our original programming with special guests and amazing topics for your entire family, health, wealth, wellness, and so much more. It's the YOTF right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. You're going to love it. And now, back to our show.
Is that India? What happened to her hair?
Little girl with the pressing curl. Age 8, I got a Jerry curl. 13, and I got a relaxer. I was a source of so much laughter. 15, when it all broke off. 18, and I went all natural. February 2002, I went on and did what I had to do. Because it was time to change my life, to become the woman that I am inside. 97 dreadlocks, although I looked in the mirror for the first time and saw that, hey, I am not my hair, I am not this thin, I am not your expectations, no, no.
Good hair means curls and waves. Bad hair means you look like a slave. At the turn of the century, it's time for us to redefine who we be. You can shave it off like a South African beauty. Got it on lock like Bahamali. You can rock it straight like Oprah Winfrey. If it's not what's on your head, it's what's underneath. And say, hey,
I am not my hair, I am not this skin, I am not your expectations, no. I am not my hair, I am not this skin, I am the soul.
wear my hair make me a better person? Does the way I wear my hair make me a better friend? Oh, does the way I wear my hair determine my integrity? And expressing my creativity. Breast cancer and chemotherapy took away her crown and glory. She promised that if she was to survive, she would enjoy every day of her life. Oh, on national television, her diamond eyes are sparkling. Bald headed like a full moon shining, singing out to the whole wide world like, hey, 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 hey. I am not this skin.
I am not your expectations,
no.
As women, it seems like we carry the weight of the world on our shoulders, and that weight is directly balanced between your 2 feet. And with this balancing act, who do you think is suffering? It's not the kids. It's your feet. While running errands, paying bills, or dodging traffic, you could be ruining your feet. Wearing the wrong shoes for the wrong period of time can cause more damage than you think. Hammer toe and bunions are the leading deformities in black women, and Dr. Yolanda Raglan is the first black and only female podiatrist with practices dedicated solely to the correction of these type of deformities. So let this black girl do some magic and fix your feet. For more information, visit fixyourfeet.com, providing medically necessary surgery with a cosmetic result.
I'm Maggie Anderson. I am the creator of the Empowerment Experiment and the author of Our Black Year, my family's year-long stand, completely living off of black-owned businesses. When we decided to take on this public pledge, we had no idea how hard it would be. There was only one black-owned grocery store in all of Illinois, and that grocery store closed 5 months before we finished our year. And I have 2 little girls. That means no fresh milk, no fresh meats, no fresh produce. But I put them through that because we took the stand and we wanted really to do something extreme out of love for our community, to expose how few black businesses there still are, to refute negative stereotypes about black-owned businesses, and to expose economic injustice that still persists in America. After the year, I decided that I could not go back to corporate. I could not go back to law. I've made this issue of economic racism and really trying to create economic empowerment in our black community my life. The black hair care firms, they sustained the civil rights movement. Black women created these companies, huge, thriving companies, and we needed that. We talk about Black Wall Street now because we shine a light on what happened in Tulsa. Most black neighborhoods were anchored by these Black Wall Streets, and if we could bring that back, America would be better. I'm not saying bring all of it back. That would probably be impossible, but we can bring black hair care back. There are great black hair care companies that exist, black-owned hair care companies that exist right now. And it would be wonderful for, in America, just like other groups own their culturally relevant products and industries, that the black community can own the biggest black hair care brands, that the black community can own black beauty supply stores. 3% of the beauty supply stores in black neighborhoods. And people know, black people know what I'm talking about. If you go into a black neighborhood, you're going to see a beauty supply store, and they're going to sell all the black hair care products that only black people use, and they are not owned by black people. So I've issued the Black-Owned Hair Care Challenge, just asking everyday folks to say, "Hi, my name is Maggie Anderson, and I accept the Black-Owned Hair Care Challenge." And tell the world that from now on, if I'm going to buy black hair care products, I'm going to make sure it's from a black-owned company.
It's Friday, January 21st of 2022. It's our show number 659, and this is the Digital Diary for today. Our Digital Diary is where we kind of take you behind the scenes of our broadcast and kind of look a little bit closer at today's events, what's up next and what's coming up next for the company, all kinds of amazing tidbits that you'll only find out on this Digital Diary update. So let's let it roll today. We are working towards our big event, show number 700, which will be coming up probably within the next few months, if not sooner. So kind of keep an eye and ear out for that. We're inviting back a lot of the folks that you've gotten to know since we started this morning version of the Hair Radio Show that originally hit the airwaves in 1995. So this is going to be really, really exciting, and we're happy to kind of keep you informed all about it. Also, just a lot of big updates. We are also looking at bringing back the event that was postponed from February here in the New York area. So that's in terms of a live big meet and greet type show. So we'll talk about that as time moves along. We're looking at sometime in June or July in Brooklyn, New York at a Hilton property. So that's all we'll kind of say at the moment, and we'll keep you informed on that. Hey, tributes continue to pour in for this huge, gigantic loss in the fashion world. We're talking, of course, about the recent passing of superstar to the fashion folks, Mr. Andre Leontali. Of course, he was known with and closely associated with Vogue magazine over his career. And he will be very much missed, and we will continue to talk about him on the show and as part of his ongoing legacy. Also wanted to remind everybody that Fridays are, of course, live. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, we do a live broadcast, meaning that you can call in by dialing the 516 number. And but you also have a choice if you want to just go and click a link or go online to listen to the broadcast. You may do so. We also have our wonderful flashing picture show right there. When you go online, you can see it, and it's a slideshow of great graphics and things to remind you about some of the things that are associated with this broadcast. So now, Mondays, it is a repeat broadcast. So please remember that. Mondays is a repeat broadcast. Often, and then from time to time, we'll still include a new item. But the only way you can hear it right now is on Monday, is to go online. Monday is the only day that we don't do the live call-in number. So please remember that. Monday, the only way to hear the show is to go online. And we put information about all of that at our website at hairradio.com or on social media. So thanks. Now back to today on this cold morning again on January 21st. What are we thinking of February? January 21st of 2022. Again, it's show number 659 today. And the Harlem Will Report, is up at about 7:30 or so this morning. And then, of course, we have a continuation of the story that we've been kind of covering here, which is the last assistant to superstar of the Supremes, Mary Wilson. And Nicholas tells his story about the famed singer. You guys, he is the one who discovered her when she had passed. So He's the person who found the body. So please, if you have missed any part or would like to hear part two again, we'll have that on for you as soon as we can get it on. And Sam Enon of BOPSA, you guys know him, at BOPSA.org. Again, BOPSA stands for Black-Owned Beauty Supply Association. And Sam will be here. He's got a new app out. He's got some other products and things he's going to tell you about. He's going to be on live all the way from California. So this is going to be quite exciting on Friday. So he'll be on a little later in this broadcast. So this is going to be just fun. All right, folks. I, again, am Carrie Hines. This has been your digital diary update for today, Friday, the 21st of January of 2022. Now, back to our show.
Ladies, do you love a man with a well-groomed and sexy beard? Men, do you suffer from patchiness or irritation and want a fuller beard? Well, let me introduce you to the hottest beard care products on the market. Rugged Evolution features 16 amazing balms, oils, shampoos, and accessories. Our products are sure to meet the demands of all your beard care needs. For more information, go to ruggedevo.com. That's ruggedevo.com.
And remember, rugged is the new smooth.
So tell us, so did you have a chance? You said, you know, she mentioned about her children, but did you have a chance to meet or talk to any of her children?
Well, I
at that point, probably not, I would imagine.
She had three children. Well, she had four, actually. She had an adopted son named Willie. She adopted him in the 60s. He actually was her little cousin who she took custody over.
Oh, okay. Like she had four children.
Yeah, and then, and she raised him as, like, to this day, he calls her mom. Because I want to say he was about 5 or 6 when she adopted him. So he was pretty young.
Right. Wow.
And then I want to say in 75.
Well, okay, folks. We are coming in live this morning on this Friday, January 21st of 2022. You're listening to part two of the story of Nicholas Stiles, who was the last assistant to the late Supreme singer Mary Wilson. So we will continue with this incredible story and so much more to come today. So certainly stay with us. I'm Carrie Hines. Great show ahead.
Child Raphael, who passed away in 1994. Or around then. I don't want to say a certain date.
Right, but just unfortunately. Yeah, wow, what a sad story. Wow. So now I have to say, yes, go right ahead, Nicholas.
Now I want to say you asked if I spoke to any of her children.
Right.
Her son, Pedro, I never spoke to. Willie, I have spoken to him on Facebook. He interacts with all the fans on Facebook. So I've spoken to him on Facebook, but only child I spoke to on the phone is Terkessa. And that was only because Terkessa runs Mary's business. So if you want to call it like that. So anyone who's hired or fired goes through paid and payroll and all that. Bookings kind of go through Terkessa.
So she was essentially running Mary Wilson's business, if you will.
Yes.
Part.
And
okay.
I just talked to her about being paid.
Got it.
I was supposed to talk to her in November. Never got a call. December, never got a call or email. January, never got a call or email. And then the day Mary died, which I didn't even know, sitting there talking to her, that she was
Well, let's talk. Do you mind if I ask you about this? So the idea was that Mary had Mary instructed her daughter. Now, all of this is alleged. We, of course, want to get that on out there. But had Mary told her, do you think, to go ahead and execute the payment for you?
from what Mary told me she had.
Mary told you she had, but...
From what Mary...
Yeah.
I want to say this. Tracessa knew about me because when we first talked on the phone, which was February 8th, she said, I'm sorry, it's taken me so long to get in contact with you. I, you know, I'm a mother and I have children, so, you know, I've been busy with them. And I said, oh, yeah. I said, Mary's told me about them. Her children are, I think her youngest is my age, oldest is my age, one of them. But
okay.
Yeah, so that's what she told me. So,
well, did you ever get that payment at that time, though?
No.
The payment never made its way to you?
The check never reached my bank account.
Wow.
But,
interesting.
I only, what I discussed with Mary was being that I only did physical work when I got there in January. What I discussed with her was being paid starting when I got to Vegas in January. So I only was going to have paid maybe $1,500, you know, for that month. Or a little bit less than that. So it really wasn't like I was missing anything, if that makes sense.
Right, that's true, because you really hadn't gotten quite through the month so much.
Right.
Wow.
It wasn't like anything like, oh my God, I need my money. You know, you're supposed to
Right.
It was never any, like I said, I think it's, I said in the beginning, I never did this for money. I only did this job for
and
free.
I would have done it for free, exactly. I mean, my goodness. Wow.
Because I do have to wait, but no, I would have did it for
free.
I'd have figured out something, you know, to make some money.
Absolutely. Well, I have to ask you, you know, as the story unfolds and you had had some conversations with her daughter, who was kind of running things. Now, it's a few weeks in. What was the circumstance that you went out to Mary's house that day? Were you guys scheduled to have a meeting on February 8th? It was a Monday morning. Can you tell us what was it? No, please, go right ahead.
It was a Monday morning. I really wouldn't call it a meeting. I just called like a regular work day because it wasn't my scheduled days. I was scheduled to go to her house every other day. So Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and weekends if I couldn't do one of those days during the week. So, or if weekends if she needed me for something, like if she was doing a Zoom and she needed my help, or she was doing some type of house project or something that she needed me to do. But the set days were Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And
awesome. Okay. Wow.
Was
February, yes.
Go to work. The last day we would get
Monday, Saturday, Monday, February 8th of 2019.
2021.
Oh, why did I say 2018? I'm sorry. 2021. Yes, of course. Yes. So now that Monday,
That previous Friday, because so I left February 15th to go to Vegas. I was actually kind of like staying in two places. I had my apartment, but I also was staying with my aunt because the job I was working at was closer to her house, which was like maybe like 2 hours from mine.
Wow.
So I was staying with her, and also just to get out the house, I mean, I was in my apartment all the time. So, yeah, I went down to stay with her. She lived near Columbus, Ohio.
Okay. Well,
and, she passed away the week after I got to Vegas.
Oh, my. Wow.
My cousin's 21st birthday party, they were in the middle of the party. She was dancing and fell out in the middle of the floor and had a heart attack.
Wow, how awful.
So I flew back to Ohio for the funeral that Friday before the, so what was that, like the 6th of February?
Mm.
And then...
Probably the 5th, so yeah. Well, Monday was the 8th, right?
Yeah.
So that would have probably been like the 5th then, right?
Yeah.
Friday, 5th, 6th, 7th. Yeah, so like the 5th on that Friday.
Yeah, so that 5th I had to go back in. Now, Mary did drop me off the airport that time. And then when I got back, I took an Uber and got to my cousin's house. But she dropped me off the airport to go to, go back home.
Okay.
And her words were, don't worry about me. We're not really busy right now doing anything. So, I know how close you guys were. So I want you to go back home for the funeral. So, and that's what I mean. And I wanted to say that because that's what I mean by how caring she was.
Now, did Mary drive a car, by the way?
Yeah, she had a Mercedes.
Okay.
It was a silver Mercedes.
Wow. So now she drives, you go back home for the funeral, and then you come back out to Vegas again?
Yeah. I wasn't planning on staying in Ohio. I was going for the funeral. And then coming back.
Right. Okay.
My idea was, I was coming, going home for a moment and coming back to go to work. So Friday, she called me, had to make it in, and I said, yeah, I made it in. And she said, were you coming over? And I said, well, I completely forgot about that. I've been to bed. I was kind of asleep. And I said, okay, well, so I'm really not feeling well anyway, so you can just come tomorrow. And she's like, no, come today. It's like, no, come tomorrow. I was getting ready to say, make up your mind, woman. But she was like, no, just come tomorrow. That way I can have everything ready for you. Because I really don't have anything ready for you at the moment. I said, okay. So we hung up. And the Saturday 6th, I get up like usual. And so I was, get ready to go to her house at 11 o'clock. Then, regular day. I get to her house, and she's like, sorry, I hadn't bathed yet, so don't mind me. I said, no, you're fine. And she said, I do want you to run a few errands for me. She said, but first I want you to look at this thermostat because I think it's broken. I'm so cold. Like, she kept, just kept saying, I'm cold. And
that's what she said to you?
No.
So now, I'm sorry, so she said she was cold. Did that raise any kind of flags or anything?
No, and it didn't raise any flags for two reasons. One, the thermostat was broken. And two, I did not know of her prior health history. Being that I never talked to anyone and Mary never told me about it, I didn't know she had heart problems or anything like that. So,
wow.
But I looked at them and said, I pressed it, I pressed lock, everything. I'm like, it's not dropping down. So I'm like, well, why had access to the only space heaters? And she said, no. I think I have one in the garage, actually. And I said, okay, I'll go and look. And I moved everything in the garage, moved everything around. And I don't remember seeing a space heater, but I went out there and looked anyway, because maybe it was something that I did not pay attention to, because it probably was something I didn't touch. So I looked, and I said, I don't see one. And she said, okay. So she said, well, I do want you to run these errands for me. It was go to the grocery store, go to the post office, and then go to somewhere else. Oh, go get the car washed. So she's like, you do have your license, right? And I said, yeah, I have my license. And she said, okay. She gave me the keys. And she said, well, go to the office first. Go to the P.O. box first. Pick up my mail. Go to the grocery store for me. She wrote out she texted me the list that she wanted of stuff. And then go to get the car washed. That's exactly what I did. By the time I got back, the sun started going down. And I told her, I said, I called her, I said, the P.O. box had had a sign on the door saying that they were closed on Saturdays, and she said, oh, yeah, I forgot they changed their times. And I actually said, okay, well, when you come over Monday, we can go to the P.O. box and get the mail. I said, okay. So I told her, I said, you texted me and asked me for Orange Fellow. What is Orange Fellow? And I said, I looked it up, and it came up with some wine, and door person, did they have it? And she said, no. And she said, what are you talking about? And I said, Orange Jello. That's what you texted me and said. And then she said, no, I meant to say Orange Jello. Sorry. She said it was the autocorrect on the phone. And I said, oh, okay. So I got the Orange Jello, and we started laughing about that. And then she asked, she said, it's random, but do they have Casablanca's? And I'm thinking about the movie. And I said, I can look in the movie section to see if they have it. And she started laughing again, and she said, no, flowers. She said, they're Casablanca lilies. And I said, no, I don't know. I don't know what those look like, but I'll ask. So I told her, I said, hold on a minute. So I asked the florist at the grocery store. And the grocery store in Vegas that I went to was Cartesans. So I asked the florist at the grocery store, do you have Casablanca lilies? And she kind of looked at me. She was like, those are special request flowers. And I said, so she's like, you have to go to an actual florist to get those. And I said, okay. And I told her what she said. And she said, okay. Well, she said, well, I told her, I said, the lady is writing up a few florists for me to call, so I'll call Monday. She said, okay, that's fine, that works. So she said, well, thank you so much. And I said, no, you're welcome. You know, of course. And then we hung up. We took the car wash, vacuumed the car out, got back to the house and told her. When I got back to the house, she was in the bed. You know, I just really don't feel good. It's like it's getting colder and colder in here. And like I said, the thermostat is broken. So I said, no, it didn't raise any red flags to me.
Now, this was, which day again was this? Which day? Was this Saturday?
Yes, this was still Saturday. This was all still Saturday.
Oh, okay. Yes, and she was kept saying it's getting colder and colder.
Yeah. So,
wow.
Like I said, I just kept thinking the thermostat, well, she did say this, because when I got to Vegas, I had on shorts and she had on a winter coat. It was cold.
Wow.
But to me, it was warm. Because how it was like 50, 60 degrees. But to Vegas, that's cold.
Right. And I lived out in L.A., so right. Oh, my. Okay. So it might have just been that she was a little chilly. Might not have had any, no indication that the end was near.
Yeah. I didn't think that wasn't anything near my first thought. And then
of course not.
Because Turquesa had the information for the person to come fix the thermostat. So I talked to her about that. And I told her, and she didn't seem to have any type of, like, you know, concern of, like, you know, we'll go, you know.
What do you mean,
you know? So it wasn't like anything was off, if that makes sense. So I, you know, get in the house, and it's about 5 o'clock, and my time to be with her was 11 to 4. And she's like, I know we talked about 11 to 4, but do you mind staying and helping me with a few more things? I said, yeah, of course. And she was like, there's a spot on the floor by the chair that I sit in. I spilled some blueberry juice, the juice to the blueberries that she had on the floor. And I said, okay, I'll scrub that up, and I don't mind doing that. She's like, are you sure? She's like, I don't want you to, no, she said, she's like, just wait a moment, because I want you to set up my TV for me. She wanted me to set up Hulu and Netflix on her TV. But she told me about the spot, and she's like, I'll get up and clean up when I, and I said, no, I'll do it. So just tell me where everything is at. She's like, are you sure? Because, like, I didn't. You know, I don't want you to have to do it. And I said, I definitely don't mind. And she's like, well, can you bring me my medicine? What medicine that is, I really don't know, but it was like a prescription bottle. So I don't know what that was. But I brought her medicine and a cup of water. And it didn't seem like anything out of the ordinary. It just seemed like how I would do with my grandma, my great-grandma. So she eventually does come into the living room, sits in the chair. And she's like, I have this steak in the refrigerator. Can you cook that for me? You know, since you say you can cook. And I put the steak on. And we're sitting there talking. And she was like, you know, I'm sorry that I'm keeping you so late. Because by this time, about 9 o'clock. 8, 9 o'clock. And I'm like, no. I'm like, honestly, I don't know if I told you this before, but being with you, being around you, reminds me of being around my grandparents. My great-grandma and my grandma, who all passed away prior to me coming out to Vegas. And it kind of is like I get that time back with them, with you. So I appreciate that. And I said, no, I said, definitely don't mind doing anything you need me to do. And I said, if you ever need me to stay later past the time that we have scheduled, I'm not going to ever ask you for extra money to do that. I'm doing it because I want to. She said, I appreciate that. So then she went on again about being cold. And she said, come here and feel me. And so I touched her arm, and her arm was cold. So, sorry. So her arm was cold. So I was like, are you sure you don't want me to go get you a space heater? And she said, no. And then she was like, feel my nose. It's cold, too. So I felt her nose, and it was cold. So I'm like, are you sure? Because I definitely don't mind running to Walmart or Target to go get you one. Really faster. I mean, like, I looked them up while we were sitting, while I was sitting here. It's only $20. So I definitely don't mind going to go get you one. So she was like, yeah, if you really don't mind, please. So I went and went to Target. Target was cool. By the time I got to Target, it was like 10 o'clock and they were closed. So I went to Walmart. Walmart had space heaters. I think it was like $9. So I ended up getting two. And I set up one right by her chair, and I set up one on her her like island in her kitchen. And by the time I got back, it was about 11 o'clock. 11 o'clock, 11:30. And she said, I want to say something to you. Before you go. Well, actually, the first thing she said was, well, do you want to stay the night? She said, being out so late, and I wouldn't want you out so late. I said, no, it's fine. I mean, if I can get an Uber, I definitely don't, you know, it doesn't matter. And so, are you sure? I said, yeah, it doesn't matter. And she said, well, you know that extra bedroom is yours whenever you need it. I said, no, I know. Because she had already discussed that with me. So she had asked again, you sure you don't want to stay the night? And I said that time, no, because I don't have any clothes or a toothbrush with me. So I told her what she said was, well, Monday when you come over, bring a bag with you of clothes and a toothbrush to keep here so that if you ever do need to stay the night, you have clothes in the extra room. And I said, okay, I can do that. Yeah, I definitely don't mind doing that. I said, that'd be a little bit more convenient than having to drive home and drive back. Because what I could have did was I could have took her car and drove when I was already out to go get clothes at my cousin's house, because the Walmart I went to was right by her apartment. But it wasn't brought up then, and I didn't think about it. So she was like, well, I did tell her, I said, my Uber did connect, so he should be here in about 5 minutes. And so she said, I want to tell you something. I know I told you to give me about a few months to see if we work out as you being my assistant. But she said, after today, I definitely think that we're going to work out. So you are definitely my assistant, and you will, something like She said, I appreciate, you know, everything that you've done. And that was the last thing she said. Well, besides, I said, do you want me to lock this door? Because the door from the outside, because I need a key to lock from the outside, because it's only a bolt lock, the top lock. And she said, no, when I get up to go to the bathroom, I'll get up and lock the door. So we take a night, and that was it. Sunday.
That was Saturday night.
That was Saturday night.
So what happened on Sunday? There was no, yeah.
I didn't have any communication with her. I didn't, you know, because it was, like I said,
it was your day off, so to speak, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So Monday morning, here we are Monday morning, and I know that you have mentioned about going to the P.O. box and all of that and lending a hand, and it's your work day. So what time did you head over there?
Around 10 o'clock. I texted her.
10 o'clock.
And I said, hey, good morning. I said, hey, good morning.
Uh-huh. Now, I do want to ask you about the house. Was this a big house? Was it a row type house? So what did... Can you describe it?
It was
a gated community.
But, it wasn't a big house. It was like an average four bedroom. No, sorry, three bedrooms, one floor. Three bedroom, two bathroom, one floor house.
Okay, so it sounds nice. Okay,
it was not like I said earlier. Mary Wilson, the celebrity, Mary Wilson, the Supreme, and Auntie Mary were two different people. Mary Wilson Supreme, I would just get a big, grand, elaborate house. But being that when you really think about it, she is a woman, an older woman, living alone, it was enough, I felt enough for her.
Understandable. So now I wanted to ask you also, how was her home decorated? Was there a lot of memorabilia about the Supremes all over all the walls? I think you mentioned it earlier where there was pictures of Diana Ross. But were there other things that you noticed? What about her clothing and stuff? Did she have a lot of the old outfits from her days as a Supreme?
Well, the old outfits are in her storage unit. I want to say the storage unit is in L.A., so that's not those costumes are not in her, weren't in her home, but she did have, you know, her clothes and, you know, she had a bunch of shoes and wigs and we sat and went through those clothes together. Her way.
Yes. Right. Personal effects, I was saying.
Yeah.
Listen, I think this is just interesting. I have to say, you have to tell us that Monday when you went into work about 10, I think you said,
I didn't go in at 10. I woke up around 10.
Oh, you woke up?
The first thing I did is text her and said, hey, good morning.
Uh-huh.
Did you want me to go to the P.O. box before I got to your house, or you told me to go take the car and go? Because the P.O. box was on the way from where I was living to her house. I had to pass by it, literally, to go to it. So it only made sense for me to pick up the mail and then go to her house. So my cousin, he was home. My cousin's a traveling chef. And so he was actually home that day. And he was like, well, cuz, I'm a barbecue. You know, since I haven't been home, I'm a barbecue. I'm like, okay. So we're cooking. I'm making macaroni and cheese, greens. I think I made black baked beans, and I'm making all the side dishes. He was making all of the, like, the meats, things like that, on the grill. And out of the time, and it was 11 o'clock, I said, oh, shoot, I'm late. And I said, I didn't have the Uber requested. I wasn't dressed, nothing. So he was like, oh, yeah, you better get over there. So I called, no answer. So I'm like, maybe she just didn't answer the phone. She never texted me back about the P.O. box. But again, I didn't think anything of it.
Now, about what time was that that you had texted her again about the P.O. box?
Well, that was at 10 o'clock when I had first woke up.
That was
that
it?
Was the first time.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, when I first woke up, I was...
No answer, no response.
Mm-hmm. And like I said, I didn't
And that was unusual, though, no? But wasn't that unusual?
No. Because there was a few times where I sat with Mary and her phone rang, and she was like, well, I'll call them back later. So...
Got it.
So, and like I said, it was 10 o'clock in the morning. I thought she was maybe still asleep.
Okay, wow.
I mean, the only reason why I was up because I had to go to her house. I'm a night person. You're not a night person.
Yeah, okay, wow. Okay.
So, yeah.
Wow. So now, at what point do you head over to Mary's house
on that awful day? So,
okay.
It was after 11, and like I said, I was late. So... I get there around like 11:20 maybe, and knock on the door. Well, I'm on the phone with Turquesta actually because we were talking about the gate code. Never in the 3 weeks I had been there, the gate code that I had received never worked for me. The way I'd get into the gate is if someone else was driving up and they had like a button.
You could go behind them.
I can go behind them, or Mary would pick me up or whatever. That's usually how I would get in. So, the gate code never worked. And she's like, you sure? So she gave me another one. That one didn't work. So she's like, well, just drive up with how you usually get in, and then we'll go from there next week or later this week. And I said, okay. So I get to the house, knock on the door. This time we're all off the phone. So I knock on the door, no answer. Knock on the door, no answer. So I call, no answer. So I call Turquesta. I said, hey, do you mind calling your mom because she's not answering the phone for me? I called and knocked on the door. She's not answering. She's like, with the car in the driveway? And I said, well, I moved all the boxes in the garage so that she can move the car into the garage. And she said, oh, yeah, I forgot that you. She said she was having you do that. She said, okay, well, I'll call her. So I hear the phone ring, no answer. The house phone is ringing, I should say. No answer. So she said, well, maybe she said, does she have an interview or something like that or something this morning? And I said, I don't think so, because from what we discussed, she didn't have anything. She said, maybe something just surprisingly came up. She's like, is she doing that? Because she would do this, like, little, like, live podcast. She's like, is she doing that live podcast? And I said, I don't think so. Because it wasn't what we discussed. So she said, I said, okay, I said, well, what do you mean to do? You mean to wait until she wakes up? Or if she's asleep? Or until she gets back home? And she said, no, you don't have to wait. Just go back home. So while I'm waiting for my Uber, we're talking on the phone and talking about she's getting to know me. I'm getting to know a little bit about her, and we're discussing my pay and my expectations of them and all this. And like I said, this is the first time me and her has had a conversation about payment or anything like that. So we're discussing this. My Uber comes, and I told her, I said, well, my Uber's here, and we kind of ended the conversation anyway by the time my Uber came. We kind of were just talking at that point. So I get back to my cousin's house. By the time I got back, the food was done. So we're sitting there eating, and about 2 hours later, she calls me and says, hey, me and my husband have been calling her. She's not answering the phone still, and now we're getting concerned. Do you mind going back over there? I said, no, I don't mind. Just give me a moment. I got to take another Uber. She said, okay. So My cousin goes, "You think something's wrong?" And I said, "No. No, no." He's, when I got back, actually, he said, "You think something's wrong?" I said, "No." I said, "I just got home." He said, "Okay." And then when I told him I'm going back over there, he asked again, he's like, "You think something's wrong?" And I'm like, "No." But obviously, I don't want to think about it, so I'm not even thinking about it. I drive, well, not drive, but I get an Uber, go back over there. I was tired at this point, so I end up falling asleep in the Uber. I could see when I woke up, he was looking at me out of the rearview mirror, like,
Wow.
So, by the time I got back over there, it was about 5 o'clock. And the sun had started
in the afternoon.
And, yeah, the sun had started going down and everything like that. And I called her guest and I was like, "Hey, I'm here. I knocked on the door. Still no answer." She was like, "Well, you said the car isn't in the driveway." She said, "No, no, it's in the garage." She was like, "Well, is there any way to like get in the garage or see through the garage?" And I said, "No." She said, "Okay." She said, "What about the windows? Can you see anything from the front door?" And I said, "No. There's this wall that blocks kind of like the living room. There's a front window by the front door, but there was a wall that blocked like the view into the living room, if that makes sense."
Got it. Yes.
So she's like, "Well, go around to the back and look through the windows." My only thought was, you know, I'm in this neighborhood. I don't know anybody in this neighborhood. Nobody knows me. You know, all you see is this man walking in the back looking through the windows. That's not suspicious at all. So I'm like, "Are you sure?" And she's like, "Yeah, could you please?" So I looked through the windows. Her bathroom light was on, so you could see through that window. I want to say this first. All of her windows, at least in the back of the house, were tinted. So you couldn't see through them. Unless you got up close or there was light on.
Okay, got it.
So her bedroom, I could see through completely because there was lights on. Her bathroom light was on. And she's like, "Well, look through the, what about the patio doors? Can you look through them and see anything?" And I said, "No, it's dark in the living room." So I was like, "There is a window by a chair. I'll look through that." So I got close and I looked through that window and I'm like, I kind of see like a shadow of like, I don't know if it's a feet or it's like a figure. And that's all I see, like, but it's pointing downward. And then she said, "What do you mean?" And I'm like, "Okay, so if this is what it is," I said, "so you know how you lay down and you're laying on your back and your feet point up?"
Yeah.
"This is like she's laying on her stomach and her feet are pointing down." And she's like, "Okay, well, is there any other way you can get into the house?" I said, "No." She said, "Well, let me call the realtor and I'll call you back." So she calls me back. She tells me to call, you know, to call the police. So the police come, the fire department comes, and the ambulance comes. I explained to them on the phone what I saw. I probably was stuttering the whole time because at this point I'm nervous.
Of course.
I've never had to do this before. I want to say this. I've never had to do anything like this before. So it was to me. So then that's when the police, they all come. And I can't remember who followed me to the back, but it was about a good 3 or 4 men followed me. And I explained to them what I saw, and they looked at me like I was crazy when I said I looked through the window, couldn't really see anything, but I saw feet. So I'm like, they're like, okay. So I told them, I said, "If you get real close and look, you could see the shadow or the outline of her feet or someone's feet." So I guess he did see, because as soon as he looked at his other, as soon as he got, you know, started looking at, through the window, he looked at his, the other person who was there, and that's when the other person shined the flashlight through the window, and that's when I saw her face.
And her face was facing down on the other side of, like, an ottoman or what happened? Uh-huh.
So what she had is her chair, and she had an ottoman connected to her chair. Well, not connected, but it was in front of her chair.
Right,
and
right.
Where her face was, wasn't, it's like how you lay on a pillow. You lay on your, on like on your ear, the side of your face.
Right.
That's how she was laying, but on the cushion of the chair.
I see, but over the ottoman.
Yes.
Got it. Like somebody has slid down, so to speak, into onto the ottoman.
Down or something like that. Yeah.
Okay. Wow. How sad. How sad. Did you remember the expression or anything? Could you remember this?
Honestly, it looked like she was asleep.
Wow.
So it wasn't
just
like,
a peaceful sleep.
Kind of like distress or anything in her face or anything like that. It was like she was asleep.
Wow. Wow. So at this point, they, of course, come in all the emergency folks, and, you know, this is huge news. What's the first thing that really went through your mind after the emergency folks said that it seemed that she had passed? Did they share that with you right away?
They did. I was on the phone with my mom. I was on the phone with her up and down. I would call Turquesta and call my mom, or Turquesta would call me that I'm hanging with my mom and kind of like that. So I went off with my mom, and I walked outside. The police officer, I do remember that. It was a police officer. It was a short, fat police officer. I don't know why I remember that, but it's the only thing I remember of, like, a visual of a person. Uh-huh. And he walked outside, and he said, sorry for your loss. She did pass away. I said, oh. And the only thing I could say was, oh.
Well, you were surprised and in shock. So that's, you know, you could have said something, you know, happy birthday. Or I mean, you don't know what's going to come out of your mouth at a time like that.
Right, right.
Wow.
And my mom was like, well, what did he say? And I said, she died. And my mom was like, well, are you okay? And I'm like, I don't know. And then she goes, what are you thinking about? I'm like trying to explain how am I going to call her daughter and tell her daughter this?
Yeah, that's a real difficult thing, but it was your job to do. It was your job to do. So you call her back right away, or you wait a little while?
No, I hung up from my mom, and I did call her back because I kind of was like, it's like one of those, like, just rip the band-aid off the moment and just kind of just do it. Because it kind of was, I didn't know what to say. So I was trying to figure out what to say. So as the phone is ringing, I'm like, what do I say? What do I say? And then she says, hello. And I said, she died. And what was it?
Silence on the phone?
Yep. It was complete silence, and then all you heard was her voice crack, and she started to cry. And then that's when I started to break down.
Wow.
And then her husband grabbed the phone and said, hey, Nick, we're going to have to call you back. Because they lived in California, so they were already on their way here. Well, not here, but to Vegas. To, you know, make sure everything was okay.
Wow.
So that's when I called my mom back, and I told her. And then it seemed like after that, my phone did not stop ringing.
Really? Why?
The publicist calling. And
Mary's publicist.
Yes, the publicist calling. He was pleasant the first time we spoke. He was. The publicist calling, then the my family calling other people.
Well,
other people
without saying the publicist's name, but what was it that the publicist was instructing you? Don't mention his name, though.
Oh, no. Okay. No, he was telling me, you know, to pretty much, you know, just don't say anything. And I told him, I said, well, I really don't know much to say. And he said, okay. So, like, I just want to make sure you know that, you know, anyone says anything or anything like that, I just want to, you know, just tell them to either call me or call Tricessa. I said, okay. He was like, Tricessa should be on her way. So, like I said, it was pleasant. And then, like I said, after that was kind of a blur. I remember being nervous because the police officer opened his back door and said, you know, get in. And I'm thinking is, oh my God, I'm under arrest. What did I, you know, what happened? I said, I've never been in a situation like this before, so I don't know what to think.
Mm.
And so I'm on the phone with my mom, and I'm like, well, they have me sitting in the police car. And he could tell I was hesitant to get in. And he was like, no, you're not in trouble or anything. He's like, I know it. He's like, it's starting to get dark outside and it's cold. And you have shorts on, so I just wanted you to just keep warm. And I said, oh, okay. So,
wow.
I'm sitting in the car, he's in the front seat, and the police officer kind of calls his family, and he's just like, I just want to tell you guys I love you. So it was kind of like one of those moments of like, you know, I don't know who he called, but it was like one of those like maybe it hit home for him or something. And like I said, the only reason why I can remember him is because it's the only person I really had an encounter with as far as like physically talking to.
Right. Wow.
But there was one man who knew who she was. And it was another police officer, and he goes, he's like, man, he was like, the music industry has suffered a big loss. He was like, I'm sorry for your loss also. He was like, my mom goes, what did he say? Like, he knew who she was. And she's like, oh, Lord. And I said, well, he went to school, I guess went to school with, that's what he said, I went to school with her children. But he's the only person I could say that in the time of us being around each other, anyone identified her.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, what happened after all of this happened? Did you stay out in Las Vegas for any length of time? How has this affected your life?
Honestly, yeah. I couldn't. The Vegas was depressing.
Yeah. You had grown very fond of her. You'd grown very fond of her, yeah.
Well, it wasn't even just the 3 years. It was, like I said, I looked up to her since I was 8.
Absolutely, absolutely,
so,
yeah.
So this, I built the connection as a kid. And
yeah,
then building a personal connection as an adult.
Exactly. And you can hear that in your telling and recounting this story. I'm just blown away. Now, I have to ask you, have you had any contact with any of these folks since that period?
Actually, yes. I called the publicist, actually, not too long ago. I manage, mm-hmm. At the present time, I manage a rapper.
An artist,
surgery.
Yeah. Okay.
And I was talking to a producer I met in L.A., and he also works with a female who is a rapper and singer. And we were thinking of a possible collaboration, and he was like, I would love to do something like an R&B song that could be like you know, turned into a hip-hop song. And I said, well, there's only one song I could think of that comes to mind when you say that, that was turned into a hip-hop song, and that was Can't Take My Eyes Off of You by
Frankie Valli, I think, in the fourth season. Right.
The Supremes redid it with the Temptations, where Mary Wilson sang lead, and if I'm thinking Eddie Kendricks and Mary Wilson did a duet on that. And then
I have to look for that.
Hill turned into a hip-hop song.
Right. Like in the 90s, I think they did it.
Yeah. So I had contacted the publicist to see if he knew any information about who I had to contact to get rights to use songs, or did I have to get rights to use songs?
I mean, right, for licensing and all of that. Yeah. So he was open to the idea of working with
you
on that.
He was open to. No, he was pleasant in those conversations, but everything prior, no, actually, it was to the point where I changed my phone number.
Oh, my.
So the phone number that you have for me was not my original phone number.
Wow. That is amazing. Well, I have to tell you, the one thing that I have to turn to this, and is this something that has stayed with you? Because to me, you know, I might find it at times, you know, like you've lost someone who, she was a loved one and on a certain level to you. So do you find from time to time that you're affected, you know, has it affected you like that on that level? Or is this something that you can kind of, you know, compartmentalize, so to speak? So how have you been since all of this?
I will say, when I was in Vegas, I cried almost every time I thought about it. Whether I was crying, going to sleep, or waking up, panic attacks, little different things, because I just kept re-seeing her face in that chair.
That was definitely
the first time I saw a newscast, and it was like a newscast. They post on Facebook like such and such passed away.
Right.
Mary Wilson of the Supremes, founding member of the Supremes, has died. And then my heart dropped. Like I said before, it was like losing two different people. As a kid, I always had this dream of Diana and Mary getting back together to do something. So when she said that.
Well, how much after that? So how long after she died that was reported that she died, that you saw that posting on Facebook or on social media?
About a week.
You had stayed off. Got it.
But I ended up leaving Vegas in April for the reason of everywhere I went, there was some type of reminding. We was at TGI Fridays, and there was this big, huge picture of the Supremes sitting right behind me. And I didn't realize it until I turned around and looked up, and then there it was. Like little things like that just kept, and I just couldn't. I had to go back home to get my hair together. I was alone. Although I lived with my cousin next to, my cousin was a traveling chef. So he felt bad because the day she died, he had to go to Chicago to a gig. But I was in Vegas. I didn't know anybody in Vegas. I moved to Vegas for her. So it's kind of like, what am I here for, honestly? I had no motivation to really do anything, honestly. So what I felt was best for me was to come back home and get my head together. Did I want to come back to Ohio? No. But I felt like it was the best thing for me to do mentally. And I will say, been back has been nothing but great. And looking up, honestly, and it honestly has nothing to really do with her or, well, actually, there is one thing that has to do with her, I feel like, but it's just me. Me, mentally, I feel a lot better.
And time is the best healer.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And remember how I was telling about, you know, things coming full circle?
Yes.
And how she was telling me, you know, she's preparing me for what I'll be doing in the future.
Yes.
What she was showing me was how to, like, put together press kits, well, EPK, electronic press kit.
Sure.
She was showing me how to send emails and, you know, blind CC and the difference between...
She was doing something amazing. I mean, Mary was in her 70s. And to be that technologically savvy, and being able to, when you said texting, I'm like, goodness, I mean, I can barely text at this age. So that is awesome. She was remarkable.
You know, she was showing me how to do all these different things. And
wow.
In October of, you know, not, I was hosting October 28th, I want to say, I was hosting a Halloween party, 28th, 29th, something like that. I was hosting a Halloween party, and I asked this guy I knew from here. I asked him if he would want to perform at the party. And yes. And then he also responded after, you know, further down the conversation, would you want to be my manager? I'm like, okay. And as I'm thinking, the first thing he mentions is, I've seen everything that you did with Mary Wilson, and or, you know, meeting her and the Supremes and, you know, everything you do, you know, post about them and all that. He was like, I really like that. He's like, I see you network with all these different people. He's like, I want someone like you on my team. Very similar to what she told me when she hired me as her assistant. So there's that coincidence right there. Very similar to what she said. And then the year that me and him met was the exact same year me and her met in 2008.
That's amazing.
I had a birthday party at my apartment, and my best friend and her boyfriend, they came over and they stayed the night at my apartment, and I had let's have a party tonight. And she said, okay. So her boyfriend was like, well, can I invite some of my friends? And I said, yeah, sure. You see who over here? And it was just me, him, and her. I said, you see, I ain't got no friends, so invite whoever you want. And so he started laughing. He was like, okay. So he invited his friend, and his friend Tyler, who was Sir James, came. And that's where we met. It was kind of weird to me because I've never really seen someone excited about, but they saw I had this big collage of the Supremes albums on my wall. And they were like, wow, this is cool. And we actually discussed that when we sat down and met to discuss me being his manager. I hated that apartment. I just felt something about that apartment just had bad vibes to me, and the energy of it just made me feel down and depressed. And the whole 2 years I lived there, something about that apartment just did not seem right to me.
Wow.
I did not like it, didn't want to be there at all. So I said, yeah, well, I don't mind being your manager. So I was like, well, let's just meet in person and have, you know, to talk, because we had not seen each other since we saw each other at my apartment 3 years prior to, 3-4 years prior to this Halloween party or whatever. So we sit down and we have, we meet at Denny's, and we, I just got off work, so that was the only restaurant that was open. We meet at Denny's, and we're sitting there talking, and he, you know, said again, he's like, you know, I see everything that you've done with the Supremes, or you talked about the Supremes and how dedicated you are to them. He was like, someone like you is who I want, someone who could be dedicated to me and, you know, help me better myself and my career. And I told him what I would expect out of him if I'm going to be working with him. And he said, I can do that. And it wasn't anything complicated. It was more so just what I am installing in him is the method that Maxine Powell installed into every single Motown artist of how to present yourself as not only a person, but an artist to the public.
Well, Nicholas, let me jump in and ask you. So what are you looking for down the road? What would you like? Because this is, you know, something that, as I said, is going to stay with you. It would stay with me. What are you looking for this lesson to be that, and what are you looking down the road to accomplish for yourself? What would make Styles happy?
Oh, what would make the lesson I got out of this is that this lesson I got out of it, as well as that I want to push forward to everyone. Never let anyone or anything deter you from your dreams, because even if it's the smallest thing, if it's something that you have your mindset to do, do it. Because that's one thing she kept trying to install in me, as well as other people in my life, too. All my life, I've always had that. That's kind of what I got out of it. And then for me, for the future, I'm going to be honest with you, I don't see myself really being a manager. Maybe more of a mentor. And I feel like that's what I kind of am for him, for Sir James. I'm more of a mentor than I am a manager. I'm helping him, you know, further his career, getting shows and things like that. But I see myself, like I said, more as a mentor, a guider, so that he can be ready for that. But I see myself, you know, owning my own boutique. And honestly, ultimately, I'm just happy. I really don't really have any goals, I guess you could say. Just happiness and wealth in that sense.
And you've got to remember, folks out there, Nicholas is still a very, very young man. He's still very young. You have your whole life ahead of you and many times to start over and over and over again. So, and, you know, when I listen to your story and the whole thing with Mary Wilson of the Supremes and looking at you and kind of knowing that she wanted to mentor you, to me it seems as though someone was not so much aware of their own mortality, but that they knew they wanted to pass along. I think the older that we get, and God forbid if there's any illness or anything like that, we want to share what we know with the younger generation, with someone who can carry my story or your story forward. I think that's the idea. And so I think to me it sounded as if she was privy to that notion. And I think that's why you were the person. And so your lives will forever be touched. Literally, they crossed, you know, they intersected, if you will. And that is a remarkable story. I am just blown away. And Nicholas Styles, one thing that we did lose just yet is that you will be helping us right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. So we're so excited. We're going to fill you guys in on all of that in times and days to come. But I just have to say, this has been a remarkable story, and I'm sure your story will continue and go on. And so thank you. Nicholas, anything you want to leave us with today?
My favorite quote from Mary Wollstonecraft, since this is the subject at hand, my favorite quote from her is, "Dreams do come true. People just have to keep dreaming." And that's all I have to say.
Okay, well, on that note, I want to thank Mr. Nicholas Stiles for being with us on today's broadcast of the Hair Radio Morning Show. His incredible story in the last days, literally, of a singing icon and Supremes singer, Mary Wilson. So again, thank you so much, Nicholas, and we will continue to follow your story right here at our morning show. Thanks again for being with us.
Ladies, do you love a man with a well-groomed and sexy beard? Men, do you suffer from patchiness or irritation and want a fuller beard? Well, let me introduce you to the hottest beard care products on the market. Rugged Evolution features 16 amazing balms, oils, shampoos, and accessories. Our products are sure to meet the demands of all your beard care needs. For more information, go to ruggedevo.com. That's ruggedevo.com.
And remember, rugged is the new smooth.
This is Queen Treat, and I'm shouting out the Hair Radio Show with Terry
Crystal Jones Vaughn of Assuage Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Terry Hines.
It's two thumbs up. The Hair Radio Morning Show goes to the movies. It's our brand new Movie Talk radio segment. Listen live. Tune in right here on our broadcast for our unique review of the latest movie. Join us live on the air to chat. It's Movie Talk on the Hair Radio Morning Show. The Let Your Spirit Soar segment on the Hair Radio Morning Show is about getting your day and ours started with positive thoughts, well wishes, great quotes, and amazing affirmations. So if you have one you'd like to share, please send it through our Salon TV Network app, and we'll get it featured on the air. I'm Terry Hines. You're invited to be part of our new limited radio broadcast series, Talking About Cosby. It's our chance to collectively delve into the life and career and legacy of Bill Cosby, right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Now, we've got great on-air commentators who will be lending their voices to this complex man's story, and we want to hear from you. Our mid-show hour from 7 to 8 a.m. Eastern, 6 to 7 Central, it's your chance to call in and speak live on the air. Go to our Facebook page, The Hair Radio Morning Show, for complete details.
Time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Gary Hines.
All right, we're back live. It's Friday morning, January 21st of 2022. Yes, I'm Gary Hines. It is my great pleasure and honor to be with you this morning, this blustery cold morning here in Brooklyn, New York. I want to take a moment to bring to the line, if it's 7:30 in the morning or thereabouts, right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show, it's time for the Harlem Will Report. And again, another great honor to welcome Harlem Will. Good morning. Happy Friday. It is freezing cold here in New York.
Absolutely. Good morning to the Hair Radio Show family. And good morning to you, Carrie. Yes, happy Friday on this 16-degree day here in New York City. It is brisk. Put your North Face on.
True. Well, Harlem, well, I have to say, yes, and keeping warm what on earth do you have for us today? There's quite a bit going on in the media. And so I know there's some stories floating about there on social media and what folks are talking about at the kitchen table. Here, we do it right here at the Harlemville Report. What have you got for us today on this Friday?
On this Friday, well, I've got some stories I'm going to save for Monday. You know, I think I wanted to end Friday on a bit of a high note. And the first story I want to delve into, it kind of brings us back a couple of years ago, right before the pandemic. And it takes place in February. And it has something to do with a couple out in California who they were in love with their Labrador so much that they decided to clone their dog for $50,000. So, and it's interesting because we are now cloning. And of course, we heard back in the day, a few years, you know, dating back, that these cloning efforts were starting to happen with a sheep, and I think there was a dog. But now it looks like it's becoming the norm, especially out here in California, where a couple decided to clone their dog. And here's the backstory: the couple decided to clone their dog because the original dog had saved their lives by warning them while on a hike from a venomous snake that was in their area. So the couple felt that their dog was so special that after losing it after 12 years of having them by their side, then they lost them, that they just couldn't deal with replacing them with a completely different dog. So they decided to pay a California-based company called Viagen Pets, $50,000 to clone their dog. And wouldn't you know, the dog has all the identical personalities of their dog and likes the same toys, as reported by the California couple. Now, I don't want to mention their names, and you know, even though it's in the Daily Mailer as the source, but yes, they seem to be very pleased with cloning their dogs, and now this seems to become a thing for pet owners if they don't want to lose their beloved dog, their beloved pet, because they do it with cats as well. You don't need to lose that pet anymore. You can now just clone this dog and you can clone this pet and have all the personality traits of it. So, I mean, I'm a dog lover myself, but as a dog owner, Mr. Kerry Hines, would you be fetching out $50,000 to replace your beloved pet?
Absolutely not. No way. It's creepy. It's crazy. And no, that money could go to help a lot of pets who are in need of homes. And instead, you know, people have got to be real and grow up and just be in reality. All this lunacy, that is just plain, yeah, $50,000 could help so many people, could help so many pets. And I just think that, you know, everything comes to an end. I have to say, I understand being a pet lover and being a pet owner, a dog owner. I totally get that I have never lost a pet like that. So, and God forbid the day that there's a separation, you know, but everything has to be separated at the end of the day. Everybody, all of us, you know, that's just the way that life is. And to try to not understand or accept that is a classic case in psychology we call avoidance. And I just tell you, I want folks to have at least a toe in reality. And I understand that you're going to miss your pet. That's the idea. That's the idea. We are supposed to miss one another. And that's a part of why it's so critical and important to treat your pets and people appropriately when they're alive. But everything mm-hmm. comes to an end, and it's not about trying to extend. I'm against all of those stories. When I lived out in California as a teenager, and I worked at night in an area called, you guys out on the West Coast, and Sam will be with us at about 8 o'clock this morning. He's in California. I'll ask him if he remembers this story. There was a hospital in a little area called a city, a little town called Loma Linda. And it was a teaching and educational hospital. I worked there. I was about 19. And I worked there after they had made international news. They were the very first to take, they killed a healthy baboon and took the heart out and put it into this little girl.
Ooh,
I believe
wow.
it was a little girl that,
is, that
they did.
That's some Frankenstein stuff. Wow.
Yeah, well, that was, I literally worked at that hospital after it happened. So I'm telling you firsthand, that was the first of its kind, period. We had nothing like that happen before that. And so, and the issue I have is that the patient ended up dying anyway shortly after they were, it rejected its body. You know, its body rejected it. And so, and that's why you otherwise they would have all along been slaughtering all these animals, these pigs and stuff to, or who
Man,
knows what.
If that was the secret, if that was the secret to eternal youth, you know there would have been a mass extinction going on with all types of
well, that's
orangutans
kind of,
and monkeys all over the place.
Absolutely. And Harlan Wells, that was a wild, that was back in, I'm going to say, oh, I don't even want to say how long ago. I was very, 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 very young. Like I said, 19, but I'll tell you something. What I've learned is in recent years, here they are again, they just literally did the same thing again with the heart of a pig. It was on the news about 3 or 4 days ago here in New York. And so I remember, I said, oh, my God, this reminds me of when I was in I was in San Bernardino, but I lived in San Bernardino, but it was in Loma Linda University Medical Center. So I said, oh, my gosh, I'm going to ask him if he remembers that story. But this stuff is too crazy. I mean, you know, with the food, this all this, you know, playing with our food, just why the heck can't folks just live and let live? My God, I just don't understand this crazy thing, and we're told it's for, oh, we need to discover and make things better. It seems to me it just not a good idea. Not a good idea.
Yeah.
Call me up sometime
yeah.
after the Hair Radio Morning Show goes off. I'll tell you what what I really say at the kitchen table. But
right.
I'm going to say it's a
Thank
thumbs
you.
Down from Carrie Hines on that. And I pray that that my little donkey is here forever. But if he is not here or there is a separation, I know it was not meant to be forever. Nothing is forever. Nothing. And we have
right.
to learn to cope with loss. That's a sign of growth. It's unpleasant.
And you got to learn to tell these scientists. You got to learn to tell the scientists, look, you got to stop sciencing, all right?
Well, I just
Sometimes
think that
can go
it's
too
crazy.
Far.
But yeah, it's too much. My gosh, too much, folks. I mean, that could just be me, Harlem Will.
Yeah.
But I love the story.
No worries. We could pivot from that. Don't worry. We're going to pivot out of
well,
the science
still,
world.
Well, I do
bit.
Love the story in a sense that I would love to know how other people feel. So that is
absolutely
because other folks may feel differently than I do because, you know, I get that you want to see the pet or something close to it all the time and still running around. I think you're doing yourself a disservice. I just think you're doing yourself a disservice. I do. That's how I weigh in. But I'd be interested to know what the fans of the Hair Radio Morning Show think as well. Let us know on social media. I'd report it back. Harlem Will, good one.
Absolutely.
Good story. I'm going to ask
right.
some of my other pet owner friends what they think. I really am.
Absolutely. Good,
I bet
good,
they
good.
Will disagree with me, though. I think a lot more folks will want to do so. I do. I do think I'm in the minority here. The minority. I think I am because I think... Yeah, I really do. I think that folks will disagree with me because, you know, I get that you love your animal. It's deep. That's all I can say this morning. Where do you find these deep stories? I have not seen that one. Wow, that's a deep one.
Yeah, Listen, Harlem Will be thinking.
Harlem Will is on the job. Okay. Yes. All right, Harlem Will. Good one.
All right. Pivoting to our next story. I've had the title of saying, don't make me turn this plane around, because this had ultimate dad vibes around it. So it reported in CNN, an American Airlines passenger plane bound for London turned around mid-flight due to a mass-related disruption on Wednesday. American Airlines Flight 38, with service from Miami to London, returned to Miami due to a disruptive customer refusing to comply with the federal mask requirement, American Airlines said in a statement. Local enforcement met the flight at Miami International Airport, the airline said. The Miami-Dade Police Department told CNN it was called by the airline regarding a female passenger who refused to wear a mask. Once the plane made it to the gate, the passenger was escorted off the plane by MVPD officers without incident. The passenger was then dealt with administratively by American Airlines staff, said Detective Colum from the Miami-Dade Police Department. And this is why I titled it. This thing had ultimate dad vibes. Look, everybody's trying to get back to normal. All we have is all we have are the masks at this point that the airlines are requesting. Any transportation vessel is pretty much asking for. And they're simply saying, wear your mask if you're traveling anywhere. We have no problem taking you from destination to destination. Just wear your mask. But if you don't wear that mask, these drivers, these pilots, they are not playing. This thing was bound for London, and he turned this thing right around and came right back to the airline. And, I mean, you put everybody in jeopardy by doing this. But from a former flight attendant, I think you said you had mentioned you used to do this, used to partake in this field. Like, Kerry, how would you feel if you seen somebody just completely disobeying the rules of the air just to put everybody else's safety in jeopardy for their own, you know, just for their own comfort?
Yeah, I probably am in a good position to weigh in on this. What if I were to see it? I've seen it. I've lived it. So this is
right,
this is something
sure.
I can tell you firsthand. I've not just only a former flight attendant, but I worked in the airline industry for quite a long time. And every single phase of customer service, the only thing I didn't do, or passenger service, as they call them, the airlines, was fly the plane. But I will tell you this. First of all, what they're dealing with now is unparalleled. I didn't have a pandemic in my day. But I will tell you, I totally understand from top to bottom. And there's so many different levels to this. First, working on the ground in management as a supervisor and stuff like that, and in charge of the gates and getting people on the plane, if we noticed certain behaviors from passengers before they got on the plane, when they're sitting down waiting to get on the plane, it was the job of the airline staff to kind of be observant, because that behavior usually starts early on once they're sitting there, and in which case the other passengers begin to feel uncomfortable. That's how it all starts. They start looking around and they're hearing this stuff and seeing this behavior, and they don't want to fly with that person on the plane, before they even get on the plane to sit down. So
right.
For me, I was always called to those situations, and I would separate the guy or girl and put them on a later flight so that the other new people had no idea. And by that time, the passenger would clear up. There was no way I could put that passenger on that same flight with those people. Now, let's say that the person is seated, because that happens. Once that passenger is seated on that aircraft, the doors are closed. You are definitely easily in harm's way. The passengers, that's, you know, these days now after, you know, let's roll type thing, they don't joke around the other passengers on the flight. As far as not paying attention to what the guidelines are, and they're not even guidelines in the airlines. These are federal regulations and rules and things that you have to abide by for the safety of everybody involved. And so if you're not paying attention to what the flight crew is asking you to do, then you're putting everybody in jeopardy. And that's not a good place to be in jeopardy at 30,000 feet in the air. Myself, it was my job as a manager on the ground for my last airline that I was employed with, and I would be called. This is exactly the kind of incident that I would be called to the gate to see. As you know, I remember many times being called to the gate on a plane arrival. I had to meet the airplane and move what they called the jetway up to the airplane so that the passengers could step on when they got off the plane. And if there was a security reason or any heightened situation, I had to first go there and handle that. I would peep through the little window when the plane rolled up to the gate, you know, on the side of the airplane. I peeped through the window on the side of the airline terminal, and I peeked through the window and see, and I could see sometimes feet pointed up in the air and people lying on the backs and all kind of crazy stuff. I mean, it's just it's unreal. You can't begin to imagine the kind of lunacy that goes on. But to be up in the air with this kind of thing and no mask and stuff like that, even though many of these airlines have installed these great purifier type systems or whatever, so it makes it safe on that level. But we've got to do what we can. Well, the last thing I want to say about it is that the airlines, you know, if we go on there and demand that we sit down without our mask and this and that, you know, the airlines could actually say, they could actually demand that every single passenger be vaccinated or you don't get on the plane. Period.
Mm.
That's what they could say.
We've already seen what the mandates have been doing so far.
I think in Europe, some places do that.
Yeah, there are mandates that are happening overseas where they're doing the same thing at establishments, at restaurants. I don't know if they're doing it for travel, but I do know.
Well, I don't think they want to do it for travel, but I believe elsewhere certain places do it. But the airlines, they reserve that right to do it, and I think that I don't think they want to do it, obviously. But I think if they absolutely have to, like if there were more folks acting like that person, that passenger, and again where they had to turn the flight around, probably it had not left too far out of Miami. I've flown to Miami Airport many, many times, and I've flown to London as well. And so it probably had not left that far out of the gate in Miami, because to turn it around mid-flight, you know, it soon would have been over the Atlantic Ocean. That I've been mid-flight going to Europe quite a few times, and that's the truth.
That would have been a move.
That would have been a move. And I mean, I'm not comfortable over that much water anyway, even though I'm a former flight attendant. I hate traveling over big amounts of water, even though I've flown all the way to China and all that other stuff. I'm just not that. I don't, you know, I'm a little uneasy with the water. I'm not that much of a water person like that. So that's me. So that's my take. Did you like the insight, Harlem Will? I was an instructor as well at the airline, so I learned a lot.
I enjoyed the insight from somebody. I hope the fans enjoyed the insight from somebody who was on the inside, had plenty of experience on there. It speaks to what you had to deal with, because, of course, people, you know, sometimes people drink before they get on flights in order to ease themselves when they're flying, you know, to go on the flight. But then that turns into a whole different kind of mess. And now with all this situation going on where people, you know, they want to feel entitled without wearing a mask, when that's That's just the rule what we have in this situation right now.
Listen,
it's just a complete nightmare for flight attendants.
Yes, they're hauling off, slapping and fighting the flight attendants and the flight crews and all this kind of stuff.
And you know they're screaming in their face without their masks.
Yeah, it wasn't that we had those kind of incidents, but they were very far and few in between back in the day. I've seen stuff like that on the ground, of course. I've seen things like that in the air. They used to be a little bit more courteous to the flight people back then. Nowadays, all bets are off, and it's kind of just a free-for-all up there. And you don't want to be in a 30,000-feet tuna can with people, unruly
passenger.
Yeah, I was trying to literally, I've seen folks trying to get off the plane, open up the doors, go into the cockpit. I mean, just, you don't want to know how crazy it can be. So please pay attention, folks. When you are flying, make sure that you are paying attention to what the flight crew, to all instruction, and do exactly as they ask you to do. That's the safest and best way to travel. And don't
Absolutely.
Do these kind of crazy things, because you will either end up with a huge fine, and I mean a huge fine. They do not play. You're going to pay whatever it costs them to turn that around. They've lost fuel. They've lost time. They've had to reschedule folks. They're going, guess who's getting that bill? You are. And you still
mm-hmm.
won't be ending up potentially in jail. So not too wise a move, folks. Think before you act. All right.
Absolutely.
Well,
absolutely.
Oh, good, boy. You got me riled up this morning.
And I told people, yeah. I told the fans, I said, I'm going to end it on a good day. You know, I'm trying to end the week on some positive stories.
Yes,
or at least
on a high note.
Not so hard story on high notes. Right. And just to, and of course, this is just to kind of piggyback on our year of the family. I wanted to expel on our final story about a fellow media associate, ESPN's sports commentator, Stephen A. Smith. So he recently returned to his show on Monday, his show First Take that airs on ESPN on Monday. And he returned after a bout with COVID-19, which the commentator said nearly killed him. From Stephen A. Smith, "For me personally, it hit me differently." Smith explained that he tested positive for the virus late last month and wound up in the hospital over the New Year's. Quote, "The doctors told me," this is Steve A. Smith, quote, "the doctors told me if I had not been vaccinated, I wouldn't be here. That's how bad I was," he said. "I had pneumonia in both lungs. My liver was bad, and it ravaged me to the point where even now I have to monitor my volume, get to the gym every day. I'm still not 100% with my lungs, but I'm COVID negative, and I'm on the road to recovery." And he also said, to put a note on it, he also said that his sister is a smoker, and he is not. But she caught COVID and was over it within a few days. But he's not a smoker. He's vaccinated, and it completely decimated him to the point he was hospitalized. So just to throw this again, this thing is so tricky. It is so weird that the only thing that we see so far is that getting vaccinated helps your chances more of surviving this thing, at least the harshest results of the virus than not being it. But it's just so hit or miss. It's really not worth the risk. I mean, when you hear stories like this, where somebody in this guy's situation, of course we wish him the best, to a full recovery. You know, I don't wish this on anybody that I disagree with. I wouldn't wish this on my worst enemy. But, you know, when you hear stuff like this and how people recovered from it, like, what does it, you know, what are the things that come to your mind, Kerry, when you hear this? And, of course, this goes to the fans as well. You know, you could comment on experiences like this. But what do you think about when you hear stories like this?
Well, I mean, I understand all the different angles and sides. And we also have to kind of like I always used to say in the previous story and airline related little saying, and that was to pack your patience. You really have to be kind. You have to understand, you know, this thing is affecting folks physically and emotionally across the spectrum, and we don't quite know where we're going to land with regards to it, you know, if you become infected. The best thing we can do is just, you know, hopefully say a prayer for everybody, whatever you believe in. Do the best you can to safeguard yourself. And as we said, first safeguard yourself and then safeguard the folks around you. And just try to live your life still, because it's going to be with us as it seems for the foreseeable future. And just do the best you can to stay healthy. But we wish the Stephen Smith, you know, all of good health in his family and all that he's dealing with, and all the folks out there, all of our fans who have an empty seat at the table. This is huge, and we just want everybody to be okay. So thank you, Harlem Will.
Absolutely.
Good stories.
And that is the Harlem Will Report. Thank you. Back to you, Carrie.
All right. Thank you. And, folks, we've got a lot to get to. We are expecting a guest, Sam Enon, from California to join us shortly. So we'll take a little bit of let's turn the corner a little bit. We'll take a little bit of a music break, and we'll be back. We've got a lot more to get to this morning. So stay with us. We'll put on some Mariah Carey. It doesn't get any better.
Are you a stylist, barber, nail tech, or involved in personal care on any level? Are you good at what you do? I bet you are. And as being as good as you are, that leaves you less time to handle your clients. I mean, as far as booking appointments, product sales, pricing, and all that. Well, I have something that'll help you on that end and still allow you to be great. ChairWatch. It's a new mobile booking platform that allows your client direct access to you. It'll allow them to book, change, cancel appointments, place themselves on standby, buy products, and even be able to send you direct messages. And that is just a taste of all the services that ChairWatch provides. Sounds good? Then check it out at ChairWatch.com, or you can download the app via the Apple Store or Google Play. ChairWatch, a new and better way to connect with your clients.
You Go Girl. You Go Girl is a brand new product line that includes an edge control hairsprays and a product that also offers relief to those dealing with an itchy scalp. Now, if you're looking to moisturize and hold twists and locks in place, You Go Girl offers a gel cream. And for the hair braiders out there, You Go Girl has a hair brand that's made of the highest of quality hair. Now, it's available in a variety of colors and textures. So, go to www.yougogirlbraidhair.com. That's you like uniform, gogirlbraidhair.com. And tell them you heard about them right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. You Go Girl.
My name is Ajak Deng. I am 27 years old, and I've been modeling for 8 years.
Hi, my name is Nya Kim Garowich. I am 25 years old, and I've been modeling for 2 years.
Hi, my name is Leomi Anderson. I'm 24 years old, and I've been modeling for nearly 11 years now.
Hi, my name is Kadia Diaz. I'm 21 years old, and I've been modeling for 2.5 years now.
This one girl asked me one time, she's like, is it true that when black people take a shower, or like the dark black people take a shower, the water don't touch your skin? Like you don't feel the wet of the water in my skin, on your skin? And I was just like, huh? This doesn't make any sense to me. Like, you get in the water, you're going to get wet, despite of your black, yellow, purple.
One of the instances is where I was waiting at a casting for 3 hours. They'd seen my face. I'd been sitting there amongst the other girls. And when I finally got into the casting, they say to me, sorry, we're not looking for any African people. And I'm just like, well, that's 3 hours of my life I can't get back because of you, kind of thing. And I was just literally like to them, you know, if you're going to be racist, let me just tell you one thing. My heritage is Jamaican, but we're all from Africa. And they're just like, ah! I'm just like, really? Like, it's the ignorance was just like so shocking.
I had so many crazy experience with hair and makeup.
Being backstage and not having someone to do my hair right or do my makeup right makes me feel like I'm not represented. Like, no one just really cares about my skin color or my hair type.
Before I even had cut my hair like this, I used to have an afro. You know, you could do a lot with an afro. You know, you could either braid it or straighten it or curly it, but it was like, we don't know what to do with your hair. The texture is too nappy.
I always have to travel with a brush and gel, because when I'm backstage, sometimes I have to do my hair or do my makeup. Well, it's not that they don't provide someone to do it, but they won't do it the way I like it, or it won't be, you know, what I want.
But I had an experience in Milan where I went through hell, basically. They glued in a whole head of extensions, they ripped them out, they blow dried my hair, they straightened it, they put hairspray, and then literally he was just about to put like a really water-based gel on my hair, and I just turned around and I said, if you put this in my hair, it's going to make my hair go frizzy. And he literally just started going off, like calling me like the B word, telling me, who do I think I am? Who do I think I'm talking to? He can end my career in 2 minutes. And this is when I was 17 years old, and it was in a room full of people. I felt so embarrassed, and I was literally in tears. And that was when I really realized that, you know, being a black model is a completely different experience.
I was at this campaign, and backstage, they didn't know how to do my hair. So they felt like, basically they had a white hairstylist, and this guy didn't know how to do braids, and he just like parted my hair and did whatever he wanted with it, and I wasn't happy with it.
Backstage, yes, absolutely, because not everybody has the correct products to use on dark skin, or maybe they do have it, but they don't think of the whole undertone thing, because, you know, I have a red undertone, even though I'm darker than most.
I feel like often black models have to redo their makeup, and I remember all, like, the black models coming to me because I was the only one with my makeup bag, like, Leonie, I need some powder, the stuff that they're putting on me, they're trying to say it's translucent, but it's white, like, help me out here. So, yeah, it's an instance that I've come across numerous amounts of time.
I feel like it's unfair because white models don't have to do it. I've been in a lot of backstage, and it's only the black models that do that.
Most of the time, if a makeup artist doesn't know what they're doing with my skin, I just kind of want to be the teacher that they never had. Bring out my own, my little, you know, makeup bag and just say, you know what, as you can see, this, it's the same, but this has more red in it, and this, it's just gray, so it's going to make my skin gray. But if you want, you can mix that with this, and then we'll get the perfect color of mine. And it's like, oh, most of the time they listen. Most of the time they want to fight you on it.
When I would go to a show or photo shoot, you know, and then I would sit at a makeup artist's chair, you know, and expecting them to, like, put on a foundation, highlight, you know, concealer, you know, all the type of, all stuff you do for makeup. And it's like, as they never have any products for me. You know, I was like, we don't know what to do. And it was like, oh, this is my favorite line. You don't need foundation. Your skin is so flawless. I'm like, no, you don't have the foundation. It's not that my skin is flawless.
In New York, a lot of makeup artists know how to do black skin. So we never really have that problem in New York. In London, they kind of are very well advanced out there. And they know how to do it. It's when you get to Milan and Paris or like Spain that they just like, oh my god, I finally got a dark skin girl, so here's my darkest makeup brand I've never used. You're like, that's not right.
Why is it that if a white model says, ah, you're hurting me, it's like, oh, sorry babe, but me, it's like, oh, your grandma must have, yes, 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 yes. I'm just like, no, my grandma has a nice soft touch. Lies, because everyone knows your grandma hurts your head, but she gets the job done, unlike them, so it's fine, you know.
This guy goes, do you taste like chocolate if I lick you? I was like, what? He's like, do you look like you taste like dark chocolate. So I just want to see, can I lick your hand? I was like, no, you're not going to do that. And he's like, why not? I just want to taste it. I was like, lick your hand and you tell me what that tastes like. And he did. And he's like, it tastes like skin. I'm like, that's what mine tastes like. Have a good day.
The thing that really drives me is the fact as well that I don't know what the future holds. Every single day, every single season, we're seeing so much progression for young black women within all industries. So I'm like, if I give up now, who knows where I could be? I could be like the Oprah Winfrey of the fashion industry.
Brands are just trying to make black girls this trend, and it's not a trend. It's diversity, it's representation, it's everything. And it's sad, it's very sad.
I want to leave a good mark in the industry. I want to do something that's going to change a lot of people's lives and that's going to help the world, humanity. So the future is bright. The future is promising for us. And I think we all just have to stick together and work together because it's the only way we can make it further.
Time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Carrie Hines.
All right, we're back live. It is Friday morning, January 21st of 2022. Yes, I'm Carrie Hines. It's our show number 659. Show 659 as we march towards show number 700 of the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. Listen, it's my great honor first to bring to this guest. He's been on the show many times over the years. I think this is his first appearance in 2022. Let me just welcome. He's standing by in our virtual green room, our Cicely Tyson green room, if you will. The one and only BOPSA founder, Sam Inan. Good morning, Sam, and welcome to the broadcast.
Good morning, Terry. Good to be here.
Yes, it's now you're all the way out in California, so it is real early on this Friday here in New York. It's a cold, blistery morning here in Brooklyn, New York, but you're out in sunny California,
maybe a little bit dark right now out there. But yes, you're up early to be with us and all the fans of the show. So we thank you, Sam Anna. Good morning again.
Good morning. Thank you.
Yes. Good. Well, listen, I want to jump in. First, let's just remind everybody what BOBSA stands for and what BOBSA is all about. Take it away, Sam.
Yes, BOBSA, B-O-B-S-A, is Black-Owned Beauty Supply Association. Our focus is helping young entrepreneurs to get back into the industry, black hair, owning their own beauty supply store, perhaps, or creating their own product brand, or just about anything that they wanted to learn or do in the black hair care industry. We're here to help. Connecting the black
and absolutely. And folks let me ask you this, Sam. How have people responded to BOBSA being created, like they're actually being an association about this?
Well, the response has been overwhelming. We started in 2004, and we think that we are the first black association here in the United States. There's been other associations too, but not reach out to the black community and individuals in our community to try and take back our industry. You know, it's been a challenge, but we have been very successful in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
You know. You know, we've gone through so many different things in our culture, and we're trying to take back the black hair care industry.
Absolutely. Well, what I love about this, Sam, is that BOBSA, yes, in the name it does say Black-Owned Beauty Supply Association, but you help everybody across the spectrum in the hair care industry, I call it. You know, everywhere you help folks with all kinds of different things. And one of my favorite things, of course, you help them to set up and establish beauty supply stores, throughout the country, which I love. And folks need help too, so we'll get into that a little bit. But you have a big task. I mean, I think it's remarkable that folks call on you. So that's my thing. So what are some of the things, in your opinion, the way you say that, folks call BOBSA and get in touch with the one and only Sam Anna?
Well,
what are some of the different
things? A lot
things?
Of people call us, they call us, you know, a lot of people just call for information. Do you know where you can get this from? Where I go get this done, that kind of thing. But a lot of people call for it because they want to open up a new store. A lot of young people, which I'm happy to help open up stores.
Yeah.
A lot of 80% of the people that want to open up stores are women, you know. And then that's in a young women that
trying
to open up stores.
Did you say 80% are women?
80%, yeah, 80%.
That's awesome.
If I get 10 calls a day, maybe one and a half is a male.
Wow.
You know?
Okay,
yeah,
that's absolutely awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Well, it's their industry anyway. You know, women, the hairstylists, they're the ones that do the grunt work. You know, they're the ones that stand behind the chair. They're the ones that come up with the new concepts and ideas. They're the ones that, you know, look at Madam J.C. Walker and the other pioneers
in
my industry. They were women, right? So it's got to be respected. You know? And then the men in our industry, you know, they're there too, but they don't have the creativity as the women.
Oh, Sam, we're not going to start that fight this morning. You're let me just safely say, let's just safely say that both men and women bring it. But yes, I think the way I say is that a lot of course, you know, the industry is inspired for women. And so I'm happy to hear that there are more women behind the scenes who are opening up,
but
not necessarily
Terry,
so much behind the chair, but behind the scenes
but,
as well.
But
up
look at it this
stores.
Way. Women, you know, they're the ones that are doing the hairstyles. They're the ones that, you know,
right.
Think about the styles. That, you know, men, and if this industry had to depend on men in terms of hairstyles, creativity, just the last 10 years when Michael Jordan became famous, you know, all the men cut their hair off. you know. So mm-hmm. when it's
you're talking about Michael Jordan, the basketball player.
Right.
Not for the young kids now with Michael B. Jordan, the actor.
No,
two different people.
No,
okay.
No, Michael.
I
Jordan,
hear you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
good stuff, Sam.
So, you know, that's the way you have to look at it. And now if you look at the styles, the same sports, basketball, is influencing hairstyles. You know, they're bringing the dreads in, and dreads were, you know, back in 15 years or 20 years, it was dreaded to wear dreads. Now it's a fashion statement, you know.
Exactly. Well, yes. And remember, this radio show that you're on predates a lot of this stuff. But I remember back in the 90s when we first started the Hair Radio Morning Show, I used to have folks who were natural hair who used to do the locks and the twists and all that. I used to have them on our show. They were actually the original hosts of the Hair Radio Show. We're hairstylists. I didn't even host the show when we started. And that's how it began. And I had on two who did like locks and twists and dreadlocks, that back in the day they used to call it, and two who did, one who did relaxers and one who was a barber. So I had a whole crew. That's how the show started, as the Hair Radio Show out of Jersey. I later took over the hosting duties and changed the setup of the show. But that's how we got started. But I wanted to bring up your point and to further that, and you're absolutely right. When the show started, to have dreadlocks, as they used to call them, you know, your hair is locked, it was unchanged, couldn't be changed so much at the time. Now, yes, they can take out dreads, do all this other kind of stuff. Some people call them dreads. Some people call them locks. It's migrated into so many different things. But I'll tell you, back then, you were seen as cool, you know, summing up the system, you know, balking the system or whatever they want to call it. And not everybody had it. It was a real different type of look. That largely was not accepted in corporate America, especially. I shouldn't say largely. It just wasn't accepted. I was there back in those days. And now what has happened over the years, and I'm here in the Northeast, Brooklyn and northern New Jersey and all that stuff, that is like the mecca of this kind of thing. But back when it started to migrate from being real power to the people type of a look and turned trendy, what we call trendy now. So it's cute. It's cute. Mm-hmm. See, you know, little twisty curls and little twisty locks and, you know, little things like that and all the little different fancy styles. Because, again, black hair, what folks don't realize, I think black people, I think we realize that black hair is the most resilient texture of hair, period. That's not us being, you know, looking down at anybody else. Everybody's beautiful in this great tapestry of the world. But black hair, yes, is very resilient. And that was because of, you know, where we originated. But I love what you said, Sam.
In fact, yeah, but it's really funny because back in way back when the twisties were in, I had a product called Twist Dreads and Locks, Twist in a Box.
Yeah.
It looked like a relaxer kit, but it was all the tools that you need to twist the little twisties. Called Twist in a Box.
You need to bring that back. Because twist, they're big again, of course.
Yeah.
They've actually, the natural hair has just been an explosion, which has affected the type of products that are found in the supply stores. Because now you have a bunch of corporations and businesses, and they know who they are. We're not going to name names, but they know who they are, where they started out only doing relaxed hair, if you will, and but once they saw the explosion, if you will, of the natural hair movement, they quickly tried to, you know, shift gears to that. So it's more about, not so much about meeting the demand of what folks are doing, but more about trying to capitalize on our culture and my part. That's me saying it, not Sam, type thing. And, you know, and I'm not a big fan of that. I think, like, the lady Maggie Anderson, we'll get her on a little later. I want to get your opinion on what she has to say, Sam. But that is always disturbing to me. We should own our culturally created products and the products that we use and primarily use. We should own them. If not, at least the majority should be owned by folks of color. So that's my take.
I agree. We own our hair, don't we?
Yes, I know you. I know Sam. Wow. Well, Sam, listen, let me just remind everybody, if you just joined us this morning and you're just tuning in, you're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. It's my great honor and pleasure to welcome back a great friend to our broadcast, someone who's really out there helping to lead the charge on helping to make things a little bit more equitable for folks of color. With BOPSA, the Black-Owned Beauty Supply Association, their website, just add the .org. So it's BOPSA.org. And Sam, now I want to talk, Sam, I want to shift a little bit. You have a lot of wonderful things that are now underway that you've been working on for some time. Is it a good time? Can you tell us a little bit about some of the things that, you know, that are out there now, thanks to BOPSA?
Well, we got, like you say, we have a lot of things going on. But one new thing that we have been working on, and I guess the last 6 years, because I went to China, and let's face it, that's where all of the hair is processed in China, the China factories, okay? You can't get away. I don't care if India is bringing hair in or Asia, other countries are bringing it in, but it's China. China is the mecca of manufacturing, not only for hair, but just for everything. I have been working with my members, people that want to open up a store, and the biggest thing that they need to put in their store is hair. Probably 60% of their inventory when they open up a new store, 1,500 square feet store, is hair. Not hair products, but hair, you know, braiding hair, bundle hair with human hair, wigs, et cetera. So, you know, that's a big part. So what's happened in the industry now, styles change every 15 to 20 years. And so the natural, like you mentioned, is taking a hold of our industry again. And so people are looking for braiding hair. So what I decided to do is come up, because there's so many different brands of braiding hair. There's Milky Way, there's Bobby Boss, there's Ultra-ish, there's pre-stretch braided hair, all different types, hundreds of different styles in commercial hair that the Koreans have taken a charge of and were able to brand it. They don't make the, they don't produce the hair themselves. What they do is they brand it, make a name, put a name on it, and sell it to the distribution stores, which is the Korean beauty supply stores. But it's very difficult for a new entrepreneur that want to open a store to get one of these main brands. So what I decided to do in the last year is get ahead of the curve in terms of the new style, which is the braiding hair. You know, so you need braids to, you know, get the hair braided. So we went right to the source, which is the Korean factories. So we created this brand called You Go Girl. And it's a brand of braiding, all different types of braiding hair, all styles, you know, that you need to braid your hair. And now the braiding styles are very colorful, red, blue, green, black.
Yes.
And they blend them in. So, and now the young
a rainbow of colors.
Right. Now the young men are getting into it. The short, we call them Afro locks, which they just, you know, lock it into their hair, given the different styles.
Yes.
It's up in the air. It's all over the place.
Afro locks, I love
so,
it.
Yeah, Afro locks. So what we decided to do is get all that under one umbrella, all those styles and textures, and then create distributors here in the United States, black distributors, not white, not Korean, but black, people that look like us. And so I have started setting up distributors in the United States. I got four right now, one in Atlanta, one in Louisiana, one in New York, one in California. Wow. Yeah, and each one of these distributors, they've never been in the business before, so we train them, get them jump started, and they don't need to have a warehouse. They can get a storage unit and start off.
Absolutely.
And they can buy $10,000 with the jump start. And I'll see, when I write orders for my new stores, their new stores, I write the orders to help them get, and the merchandise will come directly from these various distribution centers. Because now, because of the supply line in China, it normally takes 25 days by ocean, though they call it by vessel, to get here to the United States. But now it's been taking 60 days. I placed an order for in October. I still haven't gotten it yet. Because of the supply chain.
How has that been received, though? Aren't the folks mad, or do they understand because of this crazy pandemic? How has the reaction been?
Let me tell you something. Black folks don't receive that well. Especially because I was a cash engine, you have to, because they have to pay the money up front, you know. So it's really, it's really hard, you know. So, that's why I decided to put the distributors here in the United States, you know, get them jump started. And I just did an order for the minimum order is $10,000 to be a distributor. It just came in, but I had to ship it air, you know, rather than ocean, because air is, 15 days, where ocean is like 25 days, you know, minimum 45 days now, you know. And here in California, San Diego port, they're backed up, you know.
That's a huge issue.
Yeah, so it affects everything. It doesn't just affect, people think that it's just them, but no, it's the whole supply chain line, food, everything you can think of, so.
And that's why we're paying such exorbitant prices, too, with so much
Right. But so I got my first shipment in, but I had to ship it air. Okay, you ship it air, it takes 15 days or, even faster. So, but you're talking about $1,100 just to ship it air.
Wow.
So it's been a challenge. And so, but I'm excited because more and more people want to get become a distributor, you know. And then so what we do, we help them with all of that. And then I'm just putting an order in for another 10,000 catalogs, because we have a catalog to go along with all of ours. It's a hard catalog. We have digital,
which
but it's
a
hard
beautiful
catalog
too.
And it's going to be volume 2 that we're coming out with. It'll have 24 pages, colorful pages with all the
I can't wait to see it with the big Hair Radio Morning Show advertisement in there. I am blown away, Sam. So, yes, get us in that magazine, Sam.
Yeah. So, and advertising will be in a magazine. It's available.
Thank you, Sam. Thank you. That means a lot. Absolutely. And let me just tell folks who may not realize, we talked about what BOPSA is doing to help the folks in the industry with regards to opening up supply stores and so much more, as you've just heard from Sam. I'm raising my hand. I'm a BOPSA member, have been a longstanding BOPSA supporter. We believe in Sam's message and what you're doing out there and helping folks. It's wonderful. You're on the West Coast, we're on the East Coast, and we're helping all these folks with, wherever they are in the spectrum of providing hair care and hair and whatever they need, we're there. So we appreciate what you're doing, Sam. We appreciate you. So, listen, Sam, I wanted to also ask you about something. Did I hear this right? Is there an app or something out there? What's going on?
Yeah, we have been working. Well, we started working on that kind of technology way back when the QR code, I don't know if you remember QR code. It was very popular back 10 years, 15, maybe 20 years ago before the app came out. And so BOPSA actually had a QR code, and then the app kind of took over, you know.
Oh, you mean the scanning codes?
The scanning code, that's what it is. Yeah. So sorry about that.
Right.
Yeah, but that's when now everybody's using the QR code too. But we also wanted to do an app because we always had a directory, but we didn't have a directory where people could go online and type in their zip code or wherever they're located. So what we did is we have been working on this app. So all of our stores, member stores, and you don't even have to be a member, but if you're in the industry, you have a barbershop, a beauty, a supply store, or a natural shop, or a braiding shop, or you're a black manufacturer of hair products, you can go and get a free listing on the app and just type in all the information, follow the prompt.
So if I download the app, we can put our hair business on there?
So you can. You have to go to the website to register. You have to go to Bob's the website first and then register.
Oh, okay. So go to Bob's.org to register first.
Register first and then put in all your information, and it's a free listing, and then all your information will be in there, and it'll be in limbo until we approve it, because, you know, we want to make sure that your beauty supply in that category.
Exactly.
So it takes five days for, you know, for approval, and then once you're up, you know, you're up and running. We just been uploaded, approved for the Apple Store and Android too, so you'll be able to go in and click on it. You can also go in and Bobsa and see the video that we put together, you know, talking about the app, and then, you know, what it's for. Actually,
and
if you're traveling,
Apple, I think it's easier to get in the one for the Androids. But okay, you guys really knocking it out of the box.
There's a sliding advertising bar that's going to be in there available for people that want to advertise their brands or stores or whatever, you know.
Absolutely.
They'll be able to do that too, you know. So excited about that. And that's going to lead to a lot of other things, you know, because, you know, because we don't know where all the stores are. So by doing this, because we used to get calls all the time, people want to know, well, I'm going to Chicago, I'm going to Detroit. You know any black-owned beauty supply stores or salons that I want to shop at? Or I even live in this community, but I don't know where any black beauty. I'd shop one if I knew where one's located. And
that says a lot, Sam. That says a lot. And you have picked up the charge on this, which is why we so appreciate Bobsa, BOBSA.org, and Sam, you know, what you're doing out there. Sam, this is the perfect segue, because I want to kind of, again, delve into this where, you know, it's not just us talking about this kind of thing, but I love that we have this amazing audio clip from Maggie Anderson. It's only about 2.5 minutes long, but she talks about black hair care, where you purchase your black hair products, a challenge. You know how they have all these challenges for the kids now these days through social media and so forth. Well, Maggie Anderson is talking about this kind of thing, and I wanted you to take a listen and kind of give us what you, Sam, and the great Sam in the hair biz, what you think about this kind of thing. Do you agree? I know, I believe you heard part of it once before here on the Hair Radio Morning Show, but love to get your feedback this morning and just share with us, Sam. So take a listen. I'm going to, and then we'll take a little bit, probably about 30 seconds with commercials, and we'll be back to get your feedback. We want to find out what Sam thinks and what all of you think. So this is Maggie Anderson coming up, and again, it's only a couple seconds long, so we'll get right back to Sam as soon as it's over with his opinion and what he thinks about all of this.
Can you do me a favor? Can you tell me the background, Maggie Anderson?
Yeah, her name is Maggie Anderson, and she will tell you all about herself. Hold on 1 second. I'm going to put it on, and I'll be happy to answer any extra questions, too. Maggie Anderson. All right, Sam. Okay, well, you know what? Let me take a look and just make sure that our sometimes on when you're dealing with the technical aspect of things, you have to make sure that everything is running as it is supposed to. So let's take a look, Sam Enon, and just make sure that we've got everything the way it's supposed to be here. Let's see, folks. Stand by, everybody. And let's see where we're going. Make sure Sam is still there. Okay, Sam Enon, are you able to hear it?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, awesome. Okay, and let's make sure online, while my technical thing works itself out here, Sam, what Maggie Anderson is talking about is the folks not supporting the Black-owned businesses in terms of the hair supply shops, the Black-owned beauty supply businesses. And so they've created her family for a whole year only supported Black-owned businesses, which I was just blown away by. And so she's encouraging others to do the same thing. And I just thought, are there more things that we can do to encourage our brothers and sisters to support what we're out here trying to do? Does that make any sense?
Yes.
Yeah. What are some of the things you think we can do to get folks?
Well,
to,
one thing, just beat everybody in the head.
You know, what more can we do?
One thing we have tried to, well, we're working on, that's one of the other projects, is, you know, on all the products that are Black-owned, we used to have a lemon called, a logo called the Look for the Lady in the Circle. And so, you know, it's on the black manufacturers when they're in power. The Soft Sheen, the Worlds of Curls, the Proline, the Johnson used to be part of this association called ABBA. And I think I talked to you about that before.
Yeah.
And they
put that
lady in the circle on the back of the package. And then they promoted that to the Black community, saying, go, when you buy a product, pick it up and turn it around and see if it's Black-owned. And so we're trying to do the same thing with the Look for the Black Lady in the Circle. It's a logo. And, you know, there's no charge for it. If you're a Black company, you can get the logo on the back of your package, you know. And we are promoting that same type of spirit. Look for the Black lady in the circle when you go shopping.
And that really does. It helps to bring that unity feeling, that connection of community in this business that has been kind of missing on certain levels. So we appreciate that, Sam. And then the other thing too, you know, you say
buy Black, but what does that mean? You know, buy, you know, support Black businesses.
Right.
But what does that mean? No one, there's no directory to that, you know.
Until now.
Well, we've been around a long time, but we're still shouting.
Yes.
So you have to do action. You know what I mean? You just can't say bye bye.
Right. You have to follow up.
Black.
You have to have the
tools to show where those Black stores and Black products are, you know.
Exactly. Which is a remarkable development for folks. So I'm loving that. Again, go to bobsa.org, folks, for all of this wonderful, wonderful information from Sam and his team of people out in California. And so I was just saying before you came on this morning, I think I was saying about they had a story when I lived, I was a teenager, literally out there, about 19 or so, working out in a little area called Loma Linda. And so I said, I'm going to ask Sam if he ever heard of that, because I know you're in a different part of California, but this was more southern part of California. And they did, they took a baboon heart and transferred it into, I forget if it was a little girl or a little boy or what have you, or a man, or I don't remember who, but the patient didn't survive the transfer. The body rejected it. But nowadays, it's almost common. Well, not common, but they've started that whole thing again of taking healthy animals, so to speak, and that I just saw it on the news. So that was out in Loma Linda. I love California. Sam, I wanted to ask you this. How is the weather?
Cold.
Cold?
Well, it's warm this morning. It's 51. But the last...
Oh, 51. That's... Stay at the beach.
Yeah, but it's California, remember.
that's a day at the beach for us. I mean, literally today it is zero, if not below zero here in New York. So it is just a tad on the cold side, a tad on the chilly side. And so we're trying to stay warm out here. So we're kind of jealous of the West Coast folks this morning. I have to really put that on out there, Sam. So no, I want to talk about what's next for Bob's, of course. Sam, what can you tell us this morning? Is it the app only, or are you working on some other things that you want to tell folks? Because you guys, like I said, you've got a full plate out there.
Well, you see, then that's a problem because I've had a lot of projects. And, you know, I wake up early in the morning, actually really 12 o'clock or 1 o'clock in the morning, and come up with these ideas. I go to my office and start writing them down, you know.
Wow.
And I stop myself and say, no, you need to slow down. Don't do that. Finish the one you just put on, you know, that you're working on now. And I'm going to try and finish the ones that I have on my plate right now rather than trying to get more. You know, if I can accomplish, you know, the ones I have that I'm working on, then it'd be great, you know. But, you know, my heart is making products because that's my background is marketing and sales. You know, and selling products, you know.
Yeah.
I kind of miss that a lot, but, you know, and every time I wonder, my mind wonders, I'm thinking about a new concept, a new product, because I think that I can see the next row of products that are coming out based on looking at the environment, looking at the lifestyle, you know, of our community, Black community. And I can kind of feel what's going to be the next wave of things that's coming down the rises, you know. And I get excited about that. But I have to slow down
and
take care of the things I got, right, that I'm trying to do right now.
Well, I tell you, and I can safely tell you, Sam's work is just being appreciated by so many folks. I asked you earlier and this segment here about how are things being received about Bob's, but I could tell you safely, I talk to folks all the time, so your work is being received real well, and good job. So listen, I think I have a moment. I can get this piece on. It's about 2 minutes, and again, her name is Maggie Anderson, and this is the Black Hair Care Challenge. So I'm going to have her to tell you a little bit about it, and then Sam and I are going to talk about it on the other side. So Sam, take a listen, and we'll chat.
I'm Maggie Anderson. I am the creator of the Empowerment Experiment and the author of Our Black Year, my family's year-long stand, completely living off of Black-owned businesses. When we decided to take on this public pledge, we had no idea how hard it would be. There was only one Black-owned grocery store in all of Illinois. And that grocery store closed 5 months before we finished our year. And I have two little girls. That means no fresh milk, no fresh meats, no fresh produce. But I put them through that because we took the stand and we wanted really to do something extreme out of love for our community, to expose how few Black businesses there still are, to refute negative stereotypes about Black-owned businesses, and to expose economic injustice that still persists in America. After the year, I decided that I could not go back to corporate. I could not go back to law. I've made this issue of economic racism and really trying to create economic empowerment in our Black community my life. The Black hair care firms, they sustained the civil rights movement. Black women created these companies, huge, thriving companies, and we needed that. We talk about Black Wall Street now because we shine a light on what happened in Tulsa. Most Black neighborhoods were anchored by these Black Wall Streets. And if we could bring that back, America would be better. I'm not saying bring all of it back. That would probably be impossible. But we can bring Black hair care back. There are great Black hair care companies that exist, Black-owned hair care companies that exist right now. And it would be wonderful for, in America, just like other groups own their culturally relevant products and industries, that the Black community can own the biggest Black hair care brands, that the Black community can own Black beauty supply stores. 3% of the beauty supply stores in black neighborhoods. And people know, black people know what I'm talking about. If you go into a black neighborhood, you're going to see a beauty supply store, and they're going to sell all the black hair care products that only black people use, and they are not owned by black people. So I've issued the Black-Owned Hair Care Challenge, just asking everyday folks to say, hi, my name is Maggie Anderson, and I accept the Black-Owned Hair Care Challenge. And tell the world that from now on, if I'm going to buy black hair care products, I'm going to make sure it's from a black-owned company.
You go, girl. You go, girl is a brand new product line that includes an edge control hairsprays and a product that also offers relief to those dealing with an itchy scalp. Now, if you're looking to moisturize and hold twists and locks in place, You Go Girl offers a gel cream. And for the hair braiders out there, You Go Girl has a hair brand that's made of the highest of quality hair. Now, it's available in a variety of colors and textures. So, go to www.yougogirlbraidhair.com. That's you like uniform, gogirlbraidhair.com. And tell them you heard about them right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. You go, girl.
You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show with Terry Hines. Stay tuned.
It's time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Carrie Hines.
All right, we're back live on this Friday morning, January 21st of 2022. It's our show number 659, and we've been chatting, having a great conversation this morning. I'm here in Brooklyn, New York. The amazing Sam Enon, the CEO, creator of BOBSA, BOBSA.org. Again, that's the Black-Owned Beauty Supply Association. Sam Enon, we just got on Maggie Anderson, a little clip here. The listeners were listening to it, talking about the Black Hair Care Challenge. Is this not a little bit interesting or fascinating to you? What is your thought on it, Sam?
I think it's a great idea. It's a great idea, but I would love for, you know, her campaign that we can post it on our BOBSA website.
Absolutely.
Because it's all about communication and, you know, seeking out people that have like ideas like you do, you know. There's a lot
of people like
Maggie that's trying to make, you know, trying to make a difference, you know. But we have to do it together. We should seek each other out and try and work together because our goals are the same. They're the same.
Absolutely.
The same that what she said is exactly what BOBSA is all about, connecting the black dots. Mm-hmm. And we see that all the time, exactly. But we need to help each other. You know, the word need, I've never heard of her before. So, you know, and I'm in
was
the
Was she not passionate about what she had to say?
Yeah, she's
like, black folks, you know what I'm talking about. Don't try to pretend you don't know what I'm saying
She's very passionate. But, you know, there again, we need to know about it in the rest of the country. You know, we need to.
Right,
how long
exactly.
has she been doing this? You know what I mean? We can help her. We can give her a platform, you know, and she can give us
Absolutely.
A platform. And that's what it's all about. That's what it's all
about.
Yeah,
well, what Maggie's doing, what we're doing at Hair Radio, what Bob's is doing, what everybody's doing, you know, in our community, this is the kind of thing that we are doing. We are trying to get black businesses, you know, mobilized, get us, the general public, our fans out there, our customers, everybody mobilized. And that's the chore that we have, the task at hand. And we're creating our own challenge right here at Hair Radio where we're supporting small businesses, small black businesses, small businesses of color, and folks, you know, the minority realm that has been largely marginalized. So we'll be keeping you informed of that. That's coming soon. And we thank Maggie and we thank the work of Sam Enon, of course, out in BOBSA. For telling us all this. Now, we've got a lot of folks who've just tuned in, Sam. So I want to remind everybody again about this great app if you're looking to locate these types of places, how they can do this whole thing with downloading the app again and what it means.
Yeah, if you want to download the app, just go to the BOBSA website, Or you can just go to the app store.
Bobsa.org, folks.
Bobsa.org, you can go there. Or you can just go to the Apple store and download it, Bobsa directory, and it'll download right to your iPhone or Android. And just follow the prompts.
Wonderful.
If you're a customer, you're looking for a black store or a black whatever, in our industry, just, you know, put the zip code in and it'll pop up. And it's got the various categories, beauty salons, barbershops, natural shops, braiding shops, hair companies, black hair companies. They're all there. Just click on it and you know, click down the category and find out what you're looking for.
Well, I am super excited, I have to tell you. And, Sam, you've been a big supporter to Hair Radio over the years, and I just want to say thank you so much. And we're going to do a lot more to carry a lot of the items, the Yuko Girl, and all of that over here. And, by the way, you've been listening to the Yuko Girl commercial, and Sam's talked a little bit about it. I just want to make sure that you folks, I want to make sure that everybody understands that it should be you like uniform or you, not Y-O-U. So it's you, go girl. Okay, so real good stuff. Great. And beautiful graphics and all of that, Sam. Who's ever handling all that, you just give them a pat on the back from Kara Hines because they're doing a great job. I love the, you know, we share this across our social media on Facebook and all that stuff with the You Go Girl products. So, and check that out. If you haven't seen it already. So, Sam, okay, I'm loving all of this. I do want to turn, to some of the other wonderful things that Bobsa has been instrumental. But what you really are known for, Sam, is helping folks to set up supply stores. Now, you don't just help the folks set up brick-and-mortar businesses. Aren't you still helping those who would like to set up a supply store online?
Yeah. By the way, one thing I didn't mention is that all of the distributors that becomes distributors on for You Go Girl, they automatically get a website. The website mirrors the You Go Girl website, so that's in the package too. And it has their logo. It's an affiliate website. Their shopping cart, everything on it. So we do offer affiliate websites, too, for other websites that we have. We have the Black Box Distribution, Inc., which is a website that has all the products in it, too. So we do have an affiliate program that's available.
The affiliate idea, where it's customized with that particular affiliate's logo and stuff. I love that. That is absolutely awesome, and you're part of that You Go Girl brand and community and, you know, the whole thing. Listen, you've got it together, Sam. You're doing a great job. Two thumbs up from Hair Radio. Two thumbs up. All right, Sam, we're going to get your final thoughts in just a moment, take a little bit of a quick little commercial break, and we'll be right back. We've got some more questions for Sam in on. If you have a question for Sam yourself, and those of you who dialed in on the 516 number, press 1. We'll get you on. It's a great time to do so, and real happy about that. Sam, good stuff. You got up early, so I think the coffee helped, right?
I didn't have any coffee this morning.
What? Well, how did you wake up so well? Sam, you're up 3 hours earlier than for us folks out here, so...
Well, remember I told you that I deal with China, so it's like, what time is it there? It's a whole day, so they're in the
yeah, they're ahead of us.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, yeah. Wow. Okay. Well. Okay. Good stuff. You'll have to tell us more about that. All right, folks, stand by. We'll be back with more from the great Sam Inan, of course, from Bobsa, and so much more right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Stand by. It's two thumbs up. The Hair Radio Morning Show goes to the movies. It's our brand new Movie Talk radio segment. Listen live. Tune in right here on our broadcast for our unique review of the latest movie.
join us live on the air to chat. It's Movie Talk on the Hair Radio Morning Show. The Let Your Spirit Soar segment on the Hair Radio Morning Show is about getting your day and ours started with positive thoughts, well wishes, great quotes, and amazing affirmations. So if you have one you'd like to share, please send it through our Salon TV Network app, and we'll get it featured on the air. I'm Carrie Hines. You're invited to be part of our new limited radio broadcast series, Talking About Cosby. It's our chance to collectively delve into the life and career and legacy of Bill Cosby, right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Now, we've got great on-air commentators who will be lending their voices to this complex man's story, and we want to hear from you. Our mid-show hour from 7 to 8 a.m. Eastern, 6 to 7 Central, it's your chance to call in and speak live on the air. Go to our Facebook page, The Hair Radio Morning Show, for complete details. Folks, there we go. Okay. Great Sam Inan from BOPSA.org has joined us in this Friday broadcast. So happy to have you, Sam. Each time you come to the Hair Radio Morning Show, you fill us in on something new. And you didn't disappoint today. So listen, I want to just, again, we're going to have you back soon to share more updates and things that are happening at BOPSA. Do you have any words of advice or, you know, anything you want to leave us with this morning? As we begin our weekend.
Today is Friday. But, it's always a pleasure, coming on your show and talking to these people on the
East Coast.
All
over the world. We got folks everywhere.
All over the world. Think about some of the things we said, we talked about, especially connecting the black dots. And visit our website, the www.bopsa.org, and download the app, too. And if you're a beauty spark store, salon, or et cetera, you can go ahead and do a free listing on the BOPSA directory, and it'll get you right into the app.
Sam, of course. Now, I was just going to tell everybody that we'll connect you to Sam as well through Hair Radio if you need any special assistance or have anything we can help you with. Again, www.bobsa.org, that's BOBSA. Black Owned Beauty Supply Association. We've been talking with Sam Inan today, and we wish him well. Sam, we'll be back on the air starting on Monday. Monday's show is a repeat broadcast. We call it an encore presentation. So we'll have that on Monday. And then Tuesday through Friday, we're live, the 516 number. You can chat with us. So enjoy the weekend. We got some surprises for you lined up next week. We'll start with the live show on Tuesday. So Monday, a repeat. Live show is 660 on Tuesday. All right, Sam, have a great weekend yourself, and thanks so much for being with us. Great guest today.
You're welcome.
Sam Inan, you got it. All right, folks, we'll get the outro started. We'll see you back here next week. Make it a great weekend. We did.
Well, it's that time to bring this episode of the Hair Radio Morning Show to a close. But it does not end here. The show continues over at our 24/7 Hair Radio broadcast network at www.hairradio.com. Now, I must